Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody love Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Here he is all the way from Shiner. Hi, Shiner boy. Here is our friend Rob Spiewak.
Please.
What are you? Nice
to what he has to say. Yeah, right.
Nice drought out there.
Yeah, drought's over.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Parumpa-dump-dump and all the ships at sea with their hearts full of love and their throats full of phlegm.
Yeah.
It's Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Please.
Thank you, Rob, and hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to coast, still nationwide, and still via the Westwood Bun Network, darling. Don Geronimo, Michael Mara, right here. That's why every day we insist you refer to it as our German listeners do. Don und Mike Show.
I can't come before. Bottom right now, because I'm at the bottom of the pool.
We are coming to you. You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
We are coming to you from radio station WJFK. Station that smells like that thing that came out of my mouth yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Smell of death. That's the smell around here. Radio station being run into the ground right now by the very evil Ken Stevens. Hideous man. Belongs in some kind of Guinness Book of World Records. Space covered with hideous skin tags.
Sure.
Six-car garage. Oh, poor Douglas Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
That's his young son. Then you have the program director. He's no better. Ken's number two, Jeremy Coleman. As we speak, he's in a ball underneath his desk right now on the third floor, afraid of his shadow. Then you have Big Daddy Mel, ruling the world from New York City. Rub on those cufflinks for good luck.
Right.
And our agent, Junior Soprano.
Tell you about how he screamed at me today.
Oh, did he really now?
Right.
Tell you that in a moment. First, opportunity. I hope you soccer moms heed my advice every day of this time, and you've taken Junior Missy Newman way to the back of the minivan because I have just whipped this thing out again.
Have you been to a tanning salon recently?
Please.
You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Please.
Please. Another perfectly executed opening this big time intermarket radio show. Armstrong rated strong 5 million kooky, crazy listeners, and for that we're very thankful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's topped himself with the email once again.
Oh,
ladies
good.
And gentlemen, we call him the Larry Flint of this show. There is email porno buddy, Guy J. Birdley, swinger atheist, Burbank Elton. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Buzz, you'll be happy to know, you know, I'm a creature of routine, and it's now part of my routine. First thing, I get up in the morning, you know, I do my business, and I go to the computer, and I see what various pornography you might have sent me.
And it's the Buzz Burbank newspaper.
It's become part of my routine to hit that send button.
Well, and we thank you, Buzz.
Now, how do you get these, Buzz? You got a big file, got a big electronic file of them?
Sure he does. Many of them home photos, I guess.
Well, a few of them, but, you know, most I've just collected over the last year or so.
A year? Collect them, trade them, and swap them with all your friends.
Exactly.
Wow. Had a very exciting day today. Went out to Washington Redskins Park to do some interviews.
Oh. Yes, you got the big pregame show coming up again.
On Saturday night. And I only mention this because I happened to run into the lovable coach of the Redskins, Coach North Turner.
How is Norville doing?
Well, he's pissed.
Really?
He's pissed because Ken Stevens will not pay him to be on our radio show this year. And
he's not going to be doing this show again?
No, he's not. And his TV show was canceled this week also.
Oh, my goodness.
Man. So I saw Norm out of the corner of my eye out at Redskins Park today, and I did one of those moves where I just moved a little bit to my right so as not to have to make immediate eye contact with him, because I've heard that Norv is pissed, but JFK's not going to pay him to be on the show this year.
One of the many people that are pissed at Ken.
Right, so he came up, that's one of the first things he mentioned to me.
Right?
He was, hey, Don, how you doing?
Hi, Don, how are you?
I said, hey, Coach Norv, how are you? He says, that guy you work for is a real SOB.
Really?
And I said, yes, well, we know it well.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I guess I'm not going to be on your show this year. I said, yeah, I'm sorry, Norv, because this year you probably win a few games. It would be exciting to have you on.
Sure.
And then he said that he promised to call gratis.
Wow!
After they win the first game of the year, which he predicts will be against the Cowboys on opening weekend.
Well, I think that's terrific, especially with what, you know, the negotiations breaking down with Ken.
And then he also said that he gets comments on being on our show all the time.
Right.
He said he was in California this summer, and people mentioned it to him. He said when he was in New England 2 weeks ago for the Redskins playing the Patriots in an exhibition game,
right,
that a bunch of people started screaming from the stands, Don and Mike, Don and Mike, Don and Mike, and he went over, and there are people that listen to us in Massachusetts. Massachusetts.
There you go.
Who hear Norv on the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah, how are you? That's an SOB you work for.
That's exactly what he said.
I'll tell you right now, Don. I'll call you gratis as soon as we win a game. I look forward to that. I look forward to that call when whatever month it comes.
I hope it is the first game of the season. No, now let me tell you why our agent screamed at me today.
Yeah. I don't think of our agent as the kind of guy that screams.
He did today.
Really, he was angry.
Not only did he scream, but you will note that his level of anger when I tell you he picked up the telephone.
Oh my God! He wasn't on the speakerphone with like his room full of henchmen.
He was on the speakerphone with his evil henchmen to begin with.
Right.
And it was a discussion about the same old stuff. First he started harping on me about Can.
Yeah.
Then he started harping at me about how, you know, the WNEW thing was something that we should have really taken.
Right.
And I said, well, it's a decision we made, and we're going to live with our decision. And then he wanted to talk about this stupid VH1 disc jockey show.
Oh, my God.
And I just kind of lost it with him. I lost it before he lost it.
Right.
And I said the thing to him that set him off. I said, don't forget. And I called him old man.
Oh.
And I've never done this to our agent before.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I've never said this to him.
Don't forget, old man.
I have almost a reverential relationship with him.
Yeah, you've known him longer than I have.
It's like, you know, your dad, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, listen, old man, this VH1 show, it's wrong. Mike and I aren't going to do it. It's wrong. There's a moment of silence, and I hear, would you excuse me for a moment, please? I think he's talking to me, but he was talking to the henchman. He had to leave the room.
Oh, my God, that's a first.
Then he picks up the phone, and he says, they'll never speak to me in that tone of voice again. And I said, what? Excuse me? He says, we are busting our asses to come up with options for you and Mike, and that's how you treat me. I mean, he was, I swear
really
to God, pissed.
Really angry.
He thinks you and I are making a major career mistake by not hosting this nightly disc jockey show on VH1, and he wants it on the record.
But it wouldn't be just us, right? It would be all the other DJs.
He's going back to VH1
right.
to say that just we would be the only hosts, and that every week the show would be full of other crappy disc jockeys from across America. But every night at 8:30, you and I would be assured of having our faces on VH1 saying, now you're going to
be associated with other smelly disc jockeys.
Today you're going to be listening to the best of Bob and the Wake Up Crew or whatever stupid disc jockeys they have on that show. Mm. And I've never heard him so hot.
Right.
Never heard him so mad before.
Really?
He's saying, you mark my words, this is going to be a big show. VH1, what's so funny is our agent, who is incidentally about 100 years old.
Oh, God.
I didn't even know that he knew cable television exists.
I just got my first color. My first color set.
He tells me how popular VH1 is, right? He said, do you realize that VH1 is in 33.7 million households in America? And it's obvious he's reading off a piece of paper. He goes, have you ever heard of Behind the Music? Pop-up video? These are also, you will be promoted on these shows.
Have you ever heard of Before They Were Rock Stars?
And I got into the thing with him. I said, listen, you know, if it was just a show for me and Mike, we'd jump at the chance to do it. But frankly,
even if it was a show that was, throwing videos on.
I'm positive that it's going to be a car wreck because it features bad disc jockeys from across America.
Yeah. People love to hate disc jockeys.
And I said, we just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then we finally got down to what he was really pissed about. Well, we have a problem because I told him you'd do it.
Oh, really?
And I said, well, we can't do it.
Right.
And then he said, well, I guess I'm going to have to ask the other guys. You know,
they'll do it.
That's fine.
Let them do it. They do any. We know what decisions they've made.
Right. That's fine. And he's talking, of course, about his other major effing clients, Mark and Brian.
Right.
You know, a couple of cheap imitations of us.
Of course. Guys that basically took our act.
Right.
Fine. Go ahead. Let him do it. I said, I'll watch it every night and I'll laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay. So that's your final word on the subject. I said, yep. Final word on the subject. And I even asked a bunch of questions. Like I said, if Mike and I were to do this,
right,
how would we do this? Would we fly to New York to tape the ins and outs once a week? Oh, no. They would send a camera crew into your studio.
Into this place?
Right. Yeah, I said, Don. All right, it's our agent's name. I said, that just won't work, man.
No.
It won't work. So it did not end up good today.
Didn't end up nice.
No, it did not end on a happy note.
Well, I know that those fences will be mended because He likes us, and he,
sure.
More importantly, he likes our percentage.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Of course.
So just go on record today. It is the 25th of August.
Biggest fight you've ever had with him?
Oh, and he's been my agent for almost 20 years.
Right. Okay.
Biggest fight ever. First off, it's the first time I've ever raised my voice to him.
Right.
First time I ever called him old man.
Yeah.
And the first time he's
the
ever...
The first time you've ever called him old man.
The first time he hit to his face. The first time he ever picked up the phone.
Right.
And really, and you know, he's got a high-pitched voice to begin
sure.
with. He's like... This is a major mistake. Major mistake. We have been working round the clock to sell VH1. They love you. I know. I don't think they love us.
We just, you know, like any of those shows, that's why we don't go on the shows where they have disc jockeys. We don't like to be lumped in with the other, you know, smelly DJs.
And I mentioned that to him, and he said... and I didn't say this to you then. I think it was a bad idea that you didn't go on the Jenny Jones show that time that they wanted you to go on.
Right.
Okay. These are all mistakes that we'll live with.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's it.
Yeah.
So have you talked to Ken today? No, I've been kind of busy.
Oh,
so that's where we're at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little hissy.
Yeah.
So...
There you go. That's the story of our agent. He wants everyone to know that today, August 25th, is the day that our careers officially went down the crapper.
Wow.
Because we turned down this show on VH1. So let's watch the progress of this disc jockey show whenever it gets on the air. I guess it'll be in the next couple of months on VH1.
Absolutely. And, you know, hey, it's just like when people, you know, are in the movie business and they turn down a movie role. You know, that happens sometimes. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. This one, I'm confident, is going to be a... what was that horse movie with Bobcat Goldthwait?
Oh, that was, what was the name of that movie?
Hot to Trot?
Hot to Trot.
This is going to be maybe the Hot to Trot of television programs.
I think you're right.
And then we can laugh. Now, if it turns into be Titanic, well, we'll be the first ones to say we were wrong.
Yeah. We'll blow our brains out live here on the radio.
Of course, that's the way it works show business.
But it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. People are not going to want to watch a show 5 nights a week, and it's a 5-night strip, Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 9, to watch a couple of disc jockeys come on and introduce other disc jockeys. Where there's going to be, like, handheld cameras in the disc jockey studios.
Did you explain to him that when you introduce the other disc jockeys, people associate you with those disc jockeys? So it's really out of our control what the other disc jockeys do, but when we introduce the other disc jockeys, we're associated with all the smelly disc jockeys.
He said, but you guys are a level above that because you're just introducing the disc jockeys.
Mm.
I said, well, listen, respectfully, no thank you. And then, you know, I called him old man, and then he got mad. He's like, all right, I know some other guys who will take this gig. Don't say I don't work for you. I got this gig for you.
Okay.
Fine.
All right.
Cram it. Please. Please, just shove it, old man.
Okay.
You know, get some clears for the show that we're doing right now.
Yeah, come to us with radio stations. Our first job, radio.
Right. Mm-hmm. Get us
radio, a job we know we do well.
Get us a station in Chicago, where you've been based since Abraham Lincoln was president. Please.
And, of course, the other guys now will be paid in the standard television wage, which will be, what, payday candy bars?
Yes, I guess so.
Right.
You know, and I mentioned that to Don also. I said, besides the fact that the pay, I guess, would be whatever basic scale is, I said, VH1 is mainly doing this with disc jockeys because they know the disc jockeys will do this on the come. They'll do it for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that the disc jockeys will talk endlessly about this show on VH1.
Does he not understand that at this juncture you have been in the business for well over 25 years? I have been in the business for over 20 years. That perhaps money does mean something at this point.
As he pointed out to me,
yes.
I said that to him.
Right.
I've been in my field for over 45 years.
Sure, of course.
Oh, boy.
And that will give you a clue.
Oh, boy.
Just to the young, sprite age of Mr. Donald Ephraim.
That's like that waiter at Beverly Hills Pool. Yeah, at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Oh, I saw that guy's picture in the newspaper yesterday.
Ben Svenderson or whatever the hell the guy's name was, you know.
It was 1954, 45 years ago.
1954. Well, that's when he broke into the agent business.
Boy, the Strom Thurmond of agents working for us right now.
And he was pulling out everything. He said,
right.
Do you know that Siskel and Ebert don't turn down gigs, I guess? And I said, have you gotten Siskel and Ebert a gig introducing other movie reviewers on VH1?
Right.
And he said, how do you think Siskel and Ebert got to where they are today? They took the opportunities that I gave them.
Well, Siskel got to where he is with a shovel at this point.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
oh,
come on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
How do you think Siskel got to where he is today?
Me! I'm responsible for him being in a coffin right now.
Oh,
well, you know. Yeah. kooky, man.
Oh, my God.
Kooky. Oh, we pay that guy every month.
Crazy, crazy stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Listen, our phone number is Us3OK Dodo. Mike, you got yours nearby?
Yeah, I wrote it before the show started. Kenray Dodo?
No. No. Buzz, you got yours?
Up Pen Lendo.
Right, it's 1-877-365-3636. Of course, Buzz,
Mike's
is.
Mike's is Up Pen Kendo.
I knew that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you're rocking free tarts. How's it going?
Right.
Hey, you know what movie role Tom Selleck turned down years ago and has been kicking himself ever since?
All right, let me see if I can guess. I think I can guess.
I know it.
You do?
It's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Or whatever the first Indiana Jones
Raiders
movie
of the
was.
Lost Ark?
It was the first one.
Oh. Right. He was offered the chance to be Indiana Jones. I understand what you're saying, but I really don't think that someday Mike and I are going to look back at this much as Tom Selleck looks back on Indiana Jones.
You know who's going to be Michael Corleone in the original Godfather?
Ooh.
Tom Arnold.
Look at him now. Hello, Don and Mike.
He had to go the whole Rosie route.
Hello.
Hi. Why don't you guys expand your horizons by doing that? It might be a good gig for you guys.
No, listen, I want to tell you something. It would be an awful gig, and I'll explain to you why. That it would not be a chance for Mike and I to showcase what we do on the radio. It would basically be 30 seconds at the beginning and 30 seconds at the end of a show with disc jockeys who we would be embarrassed to be mentioned in the same paragraph.
And you see, the point is here, when you host the show, when you're at the front end, you are associated with what's ever in the middle. It becomes your show. And we don't want to have our show be reliant on the content of other disc jockeys where we have no control creatively over what's happening. Do you understand that?
And
don't you, in essence, basically associate with the other VJs these DJs by your business alone?
No, absolutely not.
No, it's usually warfare, man. Competitors.
Well, you can always bring up the ABC there, too. Make it your showcase there.
You know, the thing is, disc jockeys, whenever Don and I go to the DJ conventions, it is really a convention of hatred. We hate being associated with these other guys.
Disc jockeys, to a rule, are very polarized.
Right.
We don't like each other. Although, there are small groups, even somewhat as jaded as myself. I have some disc jockey friends of mine.
You know, it's funny. Most of the guys you still maintain contact with, at least the recent history, are guys that I maintain contact with, guys that you have actually hired to work for you.
I guess so, yeah.
But that's really the way it works. And the guys that I'm on good terms with are guys that used to work for me. That's the way it works. It's the people that, you know, were in the station when we were doing disc jockey jobs. Well, some of those guys are okay.
I'm actually on good terms with a couple guys that fired me a couple of times.
That's good. See, that's better. That's terrific.
Now I am, you know, because now I can be big about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, but
are you on terms with it? Because I know you've programmed, you've been a music director. Have you ever fired anybody that you're on good terms with?
No.
See, I'm on good terms with three guys that I've actually fired.
Wow. Can I tell you something? The whole time I was a program director,
right?
I never fired a soul. I never did, Mike.
Yeah, you go ahead and make me feel bad.
I swear to God, I never did. I didn't even fire Big Don O'Brien.
Really?
When he's coming to work drunk and everything.
Oh, man. No, you didn't. No, I mean, you did a good job with that.
No.
I fired guys for much less than that. You know, I wasn't one of, when I was a program director, I didn't fire guys, for the standard reasons. I fired guys, because I didn't like them.
Right. Like all program directors.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Kid.
Yeah.
Can I speak to him?
Yeah, you're talking to us.
I'm speaking to Don and Mike?
Yes.
Now, we went through this yesterday,
This is why I had the phlegm yesterday.
Please.
No, there you go.
And the guy just hangs up. Please, listen to this message from yesterday's episode.
You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please. Heed those
that
words.
Do you mind if I ask several pointed questions regarding that segment?
Sure.
When that happens, when it comes up, do you sometimes leave it up for a while? Because that wasn't like in the back of your throat, wasn't that? That was on your tongue, wasn't
it? No, that was immediately from my stomach, up my throat, into the back of my tongue. Immediately.
So it was more like a release. In the back of the throat.
Oh, listen, it wasn't there waiting to come out.
No. You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Do you ever clear your throat and talk before you swallow or spit?
Do I? Run it by me again?
It would be, I can pantomime it for you. Okay. It's more of a, it's like, ugh. hold on a second. Like, by the, before you get a chance to do that, you forget to take care of it and you speak?
No. I hit my cough button constantly over here.
Do you have a cough button for your microphone alone?
No, I just turn my microphone off. That's why sometimes when you're trying to talk, if you can't say anything, it's because I've turned your microphone off also.
So it doesn't pick up on my microphone.
So that the sound of me coughing will not be picked up by your microphone.
People should realize that Don does run the controls, press all the buttons. He actually plays all the tapes on the show, and he has total absolute power.
Okay, let's take another call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Over everyone's microphone here.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, here's a big clue for everybody that calls in. When you pick up the phone, there's a huge click in your ear. I mean, it's like somebody scratching a record.
Can I tell you something? Carrot Top turned down the Horse Whisperer. I'm just pointing out other great career mistakes.
And he was going to be the female lead in that.
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
The thing that strikes me most funny about your agent's suggestion is he wants to put you guys on a rip-off show of, another video show to play host to a bunch of other rip-off artists.
That's a bit, I believe he has put it the right way.
Well,
that's true.
Whatever. Whatever. I don't know. He was going too many different directions for me.
Whatever.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Please.
Your guy, Mike.
And Mike.
It's your guy.
I shouldn't laugh. I encourage you, my only. It only gets worse.
Hello, Don. I'm like, he's your protege.
He is indeed.
Hello. He is indeed.
Indeed.
Hello. All right, I'll try this one next. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Zeppelin rules, baby.
All right, a Zeppelin call.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Bonus
Don and
party.
Mike show, my brothers.
Oh, hello, Thomas.
Hello there, brothers.
Hey, buddy.
It's Beach Blanket Tommy.
Yeah. I'd like to say hi to my buddy out there, Josh Wilkerson. Please call.
All right, Tom the Monster. What can we do for you?
How you doing, guys?
Doing great.
I'm going to get a free cell phone to take down to Drake Beach. The beach house.
Good. What can we do for you today, Tommy?
How you doing?
We're doing great, Tommy.
Are you looking forward to the beach house, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Have you thought about what you're going to bring with you besides the cell phone?
Cell phone from Josh Wilkerson.
Yeah, but besides the cell phone, Tom, have you thought about what you're bringing to the beach? You mentioned yesterday you're going to bring your swimming trunks.
Yes, swimming trunks.
Hey, Tom?
Yes?
How come Joe Rockhead put up on my call screener screen that it says you called and said you want to beat up Dennis?
That's what it is.
Is that what you told Rockhead?
No, he said it.
No, you're lying, Tom. You said that you want to beat up Dennis.
Because he's going to treat me mean down there.
Dennis, when does Dennis treat you mean down here?
You mean what?
You said you're going to
What?
Have him disobey me.
No. We told Dennis yesterday that he was going to discipline you if you acted like a monster at the beach house.
He's not going to do that.
Well, you made some comments about the girls, wanting to lay you that really we didn't care for, Tom. That's not a good way to go to that house.
Now, go down there to have fun.
All right, so we've had to invite Dennis to be your trainer, to be your keeper, while you're at the beach house.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
What's your morning routine? What do you do first thing up in the morning? What do you do when you wake up in the morning?
Go on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Get the stuff up the news group.
Yeah.
Then take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
You take a shower?
Get breakfast.
Yeah.
Then go out and go out on the, go get breakfast in the morning.
Right.
And then after breakfast, I go up, come upstairs to the porch, get the paper, read the paper, and come back up here and work on the computer.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
Hey, it's Rob. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I was just curious, what is your average breakfast?
This morning I had eggs, potatoes, and sausage.
Wow. Now, do you make those yourself, Tommy?
No, we have like an open breakfast every Wednesday.
You have an open breakfast every Wednesday, like a breakfast buffet?
Yeah, like one of the guys that work here makes the breakfast.
Oh, one of the guys that works here. Uh-huh. You've heard of that, Mike, the group breakfast.
The group breakfast.
Yeah.
You have an open breakfast.
Yeah.
One of the guys that works in the house.
The guys when they work here at the apartment okay. makes the breakfast.
Oh, well, that's very nice of them, Tom. Do you have eggs every day, Tom?
No.
No.
What's All right. What's your favorite breakfast, Tom?
Eggs. Sausage.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
How do you spell eggs?
A-G... A E G G.
Perfect.
Right.
Yes.
It's a Greek spelling.
Right.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing, buddy?
Can I come be on the show with the house thing?
I don't know what you're talking about, Tommy.
What do you mean? Tom, we've invited you to the beach house.
Yeah.
You monster.
Yeah.
You're coming to the beach house, Tom.
Yeah.
Dennis is giving you a ride.
Yeah.
How old are you again, Tom?
39.
And you're excited about going to the beach house. What are you going to tell the first lady you see in the beach house, Tom?
What?
What are you going to tell the first lady you see in the beach house?
How you doing?
How you doing?
What else?
And give her something to drink.
You're going to give her something to drink?
Yeah.
That's nice.
And?
And take her down on the beach and take her and have a suntan and a drink.
Beautiful. Yeah,
that's a great plan of action.
That's terrific.
Very
See,
nice.
Totally innocent.
Uh-huh. All right, Tommy. We'll talk to you when the beach house gets closer, buddy.
Okay. All right, bye guys.
Bye bye, Tommy. Tom the Monster, a featured attraction at our beach house.
Sure. If he walks down on the beach, you'll probably start seeing helicopters around there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Don, I am dying to know how Bart's first day of high school football practice was yesterday.
But to hear him tell it went great.
Good.
He loved it.
Two days?
Two days. They continue them today, and that I do have to make an announcement here that makes me sad about tomorrow night's Grassroots concert.
What?
I will not be able to perform with the Grassroots tomorrow night because Bart has his first ever scrimmage tomorrow night.
Oh, bummer.
And I got to go out there to see it because I can't see a lot of his high school stuff because our show is on at the same time.
No, you got
to
do that.
So Rob Grill from the Grassroots is still coming in here tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Yes, and I will shut up. And I will see if I can get him to perform in here tomorrow with me.
Oh, see, that's good. That's good. Then will you, like, do the whole thing, though? Will you stand up and perform?
Oh, you bet I will.
Will you do the thing? Do you...
Yeah.
All right, good.
I'll do my dance for you.
Excellent. Okay.
You bet.
I'm bummed. I'm like, because I was going to go out and see you.
Well, you know, Bart's only going to play high school football.
No, I know what the priorities are all about. That takes precedence over everything.
Sure.
And as he said to me last night, but Dad, you've already sang with that group twice.
Right.
Hello, Robbie, do we have the messages from Rob Grill? Oh, here we go. Okay, Rob Grill from the Grassroots actually left two phone messages recently for Rob Speewire. So let's now listen to the lead singer of the Grassroots, Mr. Rob Grill, on our answering machine.
Yeah, hey, Rob, this is Rob. Rob Grill with the Grassroots. I got your message, and I'd love to come in the studio that day. I'm getting into town probably about noon, and I'll be over in that area around 2. So we can work that out. That'd be great. And then we can talk to Don about his singing ability or lack thereof, and we can figure that one out, too. So I'll give you a call tomorrow during business hours and try to hook this thing up.
Cool.
Thanks. Bye.
Cool. Rob Grill. Okay.
Yeah, Rob, this is Rob Grill with the Grassroots. You've got the number. I just wanted to let you know I'm arriving at Dulles at noon, and I'm going to take a cab, and then I have the show at 7. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure out. I'm not going to have a car or anything. I don't know if a cab would be right or not, but give me a call back. I'll be home this evening. If you can, call me and let me know if we can work out what time we can do this and discuss the other parts of it. Okay? Thanks. Bye.
He was more enthusiastic when he was at the county fair.
I think he should have a cab.
At least.
I mean, a car.
Didn't he have a jet?
Yeah, he had a jet the last time he played here.
Do you think he's still flying in on a jet?
I would bet he's flying commercial. We'll find out tomorrow when he comes in here.
I'm rooting for him. I hope he's flying on a jet.
I love the Grassroots. I love the Grassroots. Listen, they kick ass, man. Yeah, they're fantastic.
You know, with all my kidding, I do enjoy their music. I do actually think they're fun to listen to. They really are. It's just the whole... The whole thing about where they perform is the funny part.
It's been a downward spiral the last 3 years. First, it was the County Craft Fair.
Right.
Then it was the River Festival.
River Fest.
And now it's a shopping mall.
Yes. But he does it all the time. He makes a lot of money going all over the country and doing that because people still pay to get Rob Grill and the Grassroots to show up.
I love him. There's no doubt about it,
he's
man.
He's a cool guy. He's been nice to you.
They kick ass. They were my favorite group when I was a kid, and he will be in here tomorrow, and we will jam with him then.
That's a good idea.
We will jam, man.
I'm excited about that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Hey.
I don't know if you've heard that one, but it's probably going to make your day.
What's that?
Did you hear about Carson and Jennifer Love?
Oh, right. They're no longer an item, are they?
Yeah!
That's right. Jennifer,
bravo!
Jennifer Love Hewitt finally wised up.
Oh, about time. She can do better.
Yeah, I heard he was flirting with some chicks at Miss Teen USA.
Right.
I hate Carson. He's such a homo. I hate that guy.
Here's some interesting news today. The news was Jennifer Love Hewitt has decided
different
to
Carson.
Break up with me.
He looks like such a child molester.
Hold on there, Buffalo Brass.
Come on.
Karnak doesn't like that. I'll tell you something. Jennifer Love Hewitt was a mighty big fan of the Mighty Carson Art Players.
Hi-oh, great one. I'm a mighty big fan of Jennifer myself.
Yeah, me too.
That blue shirt that she wears in, what's that movie? I Know What You Did Last Summer. Man.
May a diseased yak cast aspersions on your sister.
Hi-oh! I do agree. That is great news that she broke up with Carson. Carson Daly from MTV.
That's a great crowd.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
Not like last night, right, Johnny?
Last night's crowd, weird people. Yes, they were all wearing blue and showing their cleavage.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, you guys, got a question for you.
Yes.
For all of you guys, Rob, too, and Buzz also.
Yes.
Now, when you guys are taking a shower, when you're rinsing your hair after you wash it, do you face the shower head, or do you turn around with your back to it and rinse it, your hair backwards, or do you rinse your hair forward?
I am not sure what kind of queer question this is, but I
understand exactly where he's going with him. Do you understand exactly where he's going with this?
But why would you ask?
Facing the shower would be the manly way to do it.
Right.
Leaning your head back and leaning towards the shower would be the gay way to do it.
Thank you. I face forward, and my wife thinks I'm insane because I get water in my ears that way.
I will tell you, with that said, with understanding your question, I will tell you that I rinse the soap off with my head facing the shower, but then actually I lean back with my head back to the shower and I get the fag for both.
What do you do? I don't, Mike. I take baths.
Yes and no.
No.
With Calgon.
No, I mean, now they think about it, I just face the shower.
Right. Right, with your head down and you kind of get it all off there.
No, my head is up.
My head
is up facing the shower head.
I rinse both sides. I actually rinse the front and then I turn my back
to
the shower.
You don't have enough hair to worry about.
Now I don't,
sides.
But it's still a habit. And there's in fact, shampooing my head with very little hair now is very difficult to do because I'm used to a different process. You know?
I'll tell you something I do.
Mm-hmm.
I shampoo my genital hair.
Oh, I do too.
I think that's pretty common, actually.
I mean, it really
does.
I combed it the other day.
Do you shampoo it separately, or do you...
No, same time I'm doing the head on my...
I will wash my hair, take the soap from down there, and rub my genital hair every time. I mean, you should
me
do
too.
That every time.
Right. No, I do that too.
You still
Nothing
use the mousse?
Special, you know.
What?
Do you still use the mousse?
No, but they use Aquanet now.
Okay.
You know, the other day, I really did go down there with a comb, though.
Why?
I don't know. Before to God, I did.
While you were in the shower or after you got out?
No, when I got out.
Ah, that's worse.
Well, that's like pripping myself.
That's worse. Did you comb it up or down? Up towards the belly button or down towards the package?
Combed it up.
You combed it up?
Up.
To fluff it up a little bit?
I don't know why I
Wasn't
did
Wasn't looking
it.
Poofy enough for you?
I don't know why.
You want a little Conway Twitty do or what?
It was my wife's comb I was using.
Oh, God.
Sure. I swear to God it was.
Oh, man. I hope she's not like one of those ladies groups and that has a little itch on her scalp. Hey, what's that fell on the card table?
Hello, Don, my show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, all this talk about genitals. I almost forgot I wanted to talk to you guys. Hey, did you hear about that Little League father down in Alabama or wherever that quit his job because it interfered with his Little League game, and I was wondering if Don was going to play some reruns when his kid was playing high school football.
No, Christ's sake, no way. This guy in Alabama, his kid is in the Little League World Series.
Right.
So he quit his job.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he didn't go to his boss and say, I want a couple days off to watch my kid in the Little League World Series.
Right.
He quit his job.
Just up and quit.
And he announced it. They interviewed him on ESPN. He said, "Yeah, well, I quit my job. I wasn't making $1 million anyway, and I figured it's important to come see my boys play."
Good for him. I'm all for him.
Oh, I'm not.
Rednecks, what are you going to do with him, huh?
Yeah,
I mean, especially if the guy say, "This is the only."
What's going to happen a week from now, though?
I have no information, though. If he has the type of job where, if he's saying he's not making $1 million, if it's the kind of job where maybe he could get back into doing whatever, you know, say if he was doing something level.
He didn't appear to be a skilled laborer.
Right.
I saw him on ESPN.
So he probably would have the kind of job that would probably be easy to get right back into the workforce.
No problem.
So maybe as opposed to going to his employer and asking for the time off, he probably just quit and he'll be able to get a job.
Well,
you're worried about, I understand what
I'm
you're
worried,
saying.
You know, in 2 weeks, "Daddy, I'm hungry."
Right, exactly.
Well, that's too bad, son. Wow, that was great when you hit that home run, though. "Daddy, there's no more toilet paper." Oh, Sean, don't worry about that.
Yeah, come on outside and play catch.
Think about when you hit that home run, and I quit my job to come watch you.
No, absolutely not.
Hey, hello, Don.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, hold on. Broyhill just put on the screen, they already live in a trailer home.
Oh, well, see? So he's able to get the job. He's able to get the job.
No problem.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, wondering when you guys are going to Maryland Renfest.
Would you do the what, sir?
Maryland Renaissance Festival.
Can you say it again, please?
Maryland Renaissance Festival.
There, you got it the third time.
Well, I'll be going sometime. I mean, when's it start? Like in a couple of weeks or something, right?
This weekend.
Oh, this weekend.
Right. Can you speak like ye old Henry VIII for us?
No, not that good at it yet.
I love the Renaissance Festival.
Go.
I love it. I go every year,
sir.
I go
every weekend.
I go every year. I swear to God, it's one of the few old-time things that I love doing.
I got season passes, but I can only go every other weekend.
Yeah, I wish I had season passes.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hey, it's fun for one day.
It's whatever
it's
you like.
Fun for a day.
Don't care for the parking lot.
I like steak on a steak.
Mm-hmm.
I like the jousting.
Right.
I like walking up to the wenches.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially like talking to people who are pretending that they're from the 1800s.
Right.
Hello, citizen. You yon there that brought your four-wheel drive into muddy yonder field and dealt with ugly Washington traffic that you deal with each and every day anyway.
I love going up to those people trying to pretend that they're from the 1800s, and I say, "Hey, where'd you get those pair of Nikes at?"
Have you ever jousted?
No, never jousted.
Can you jousted? I mean, are you allowed to joust at those things?
No, they got guys that really ride towards each other at a high rate of speed on horses.
See, I've never seen that because it was so crowded that they were surrounding the jousting pit and I wasn't able to get.
You got
to
get there early. You got to get your steak on a steak and you go spot out your spot early.
And then you can buy a crystal too on the way out. You can buy a crystal hanging from some fishing line.
You can, man. Cool. I'm a big supporter of the Renaissance Festival.
It's very, you and a lot of other people, it's very successful event.
Mm-hmm. Good. You buy cool belts there and stuff, too.
You know, do they have entertainment, musical entertainment there?
Hello.
Because I was thinking maybe after fair.
Okay, shut up.
Small.
Okay. Although, who knows, next year it could be the next stop for Rob Girl. I know what you're thinking.
Wait a minute. Now, what do you think? Do you think that I think the Renaissance Festival, on crowds alone, would be a step up from Fair Oaks Mall?
Yep.
What do you think?
I would disagree.
Really?
I really think that playing at a shopping mall is higher on the rock and roll food chain than playing at a Renaissance Festival.
Okay.
Because the given crowd any day at the Renaissance Festival, maybe 500 people. I mean,
really?
It's really a small area.
Is it still out in that place out in Maryland?
Crownsville, up by the Enchanted Forest.
Gosh.
Fantastic, though.
You must have picked a better day than I. I went one day, and I really, there you couldn't get in. It wasn't 500 people. It was more like 5,000 people. You couldn't get into the thing. It was there crawling with humanity. I must have picked the day that everybody decided to go.
Oh, you love it. We go every year. Hello?
Buzz, may I give your pubic hair a perm?
No, thank you, Jorge.
Perhaps a deep, rich conditioning.
No, I don't think so.
And then a styling.
That guy loves you, Buzz. He loves you, man.
Yeah, right.
Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello.
Buddy.
We're up on a break. Yes, buddy.
You seen that new Mariah Carey video?
I seen it, and she's pretty hot, man. She's got to be wearing a push-up bra to the max, mm-hmm. though. Mm-hmm.
That stomach, tight like an ironing board, man.
You're right. My Mariah Carey is trade doable, sir. Thank you.
Hello?
And he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. Listen, if you're going to call the show and make a statement, please at least stay on the line so we can finish addressing you. Please.
You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Okay.
please at least stay on the line. Talk to Abby Touchdowns right there. Let's start today's show with a caller 100 and a prize package that we have selected especially for you. It lies straight ahead if you're the 100th phone caller right now.
All right.
Us Rio okay, Dodo. Mike.
Yes. I've got it right here, Don. It would be Up Pen Kendo.
Buzzy.
Up Pen Lendo.
1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports so real, you can smell it. Sports 1140, KHCK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why don't we let Jeff Greenfield have a go at it first?
No, let me have a go at it.
Go ahead, David.
I wish to say that we all look forward with great pleasure to 4 years of wonderful, inspiring speeches, full of wit, poetry, music, love, and affection. Plus more goddamn nonsense. The other is that...
You can't say that on the air, Mr. Greenfield.
Well, I'm not on the air. I was amused to have... to read that Ross...
David, just let me just go in and say, we are on the air.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right there. All right, the first show's having touchdowns today and a caller 100 right now. It's you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yeah. Right, listen to that. Beautiful. What's your name, lady?
It's Beth. I'm in Alexandria.
Beth, you are the 100th caller, and you have won Playboy TV's Sizzlin' Sampler Gift Pack.
Woo-hoo.
Courtesy of Media General Cable Top Event. Hey, all you pervs. Playboy TV's on Channel 88 right now.
Hey, you know, if it's like the commercials, the girls like it, too.
Call Media General Cable Top Event. To order.
You know that commercial with
no,
the girls
that's
in the office?
The fakiest commercial.
Love that commercial.
Yeah. I hate that commercial.
You know, she comes in, it's like, Playboy TV. I watch it. And the both guys are going, blah, 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 blah.
My boyfriend and I watched it all night last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Fantasy. Every man's fantasy, though.
Bull ass.
Right.
Hey, thank you for listening, Beth.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you more.
No, love you.
No, love you more. Love you one more than all the love you have for us.
Okay.
Hold on, please.
And remember, we're the king of the best people around.
I do have a question. If anybody listening to the show around Buffalo, I know that we're not on in Buffalo, but Rochester, Crapchester, New York is close to Buffalo and other towns up there. I was on the internet last night and read a story. I wish I would have printed this thing out. It was from, I think, the Buffalo Daily News, whatever the newspaper is,
right,
about a guy who was at a Bills game.
Got it.
You got it, Buzz?
I do.
Bring it over here.
Here it comes.
Bring it over. Run it over here. This guy was having sex with his girlfriend at a Bills game.
At a game?
Yeah. And he got arrested.
Like a pregame? I mean,
thank
a preseason game?
Yeah. Tom Chukowski says he's going to the Buffalo Bills opener this year, regular season, even though he's been banned from the stadium for a year. He was banned from the stadium after being caught and convicted of having sex with his girlfriend and the stands at a game.
Hey, it's an exciting game.
Yeah. He's convicted of public lewdness with the girl who's his fiancée. Tom is not sorry. He says even though a judge has banned him from the games,
right,
he and his fiancée will wear disguises and they will have sex in the stands again.
Oh, wow.
How fantastic is that story?
My great. God, we got to get in touch with this guy.
Yeah, Tom Chukowski.
I spelled his name phonetically there. I'll get you the correct spelling.
Nice Polish guy.
Hey, was he way up in the nosebleeds, so to speak?
I don't know. Robbie, get the guy's name from Buzz.
All right.
And see if we can call the guy up on the show today.
Sounds like he's a defiant young man.
I think he'd be happy to talk to you, actually.
Because, you know, sometimes when I'm on Yahoo or something, I just click in sex.
Right.
And that's what I did last night. The keyword was sex on Yahoo.
Why would you possibly do that?
Because I'm curious, Mike.
You have a natural curiosity.
And right. One of the stories that came up, like on the, not on the first 10, but it says, you know, display next 10 hottest stories.
Sure.
It was a story about this guy having sex at a Bills game.
Now, didn't they have a baseball game in Toronto or one of those states?
Yeah, people were doing it in the hotel.
They had the windows open and there's no...
Next to the Sky Dome.
No tinting or anything, and they can actually see people. Now, people actually go there and set up this. I mean, they try to do it.
And I think the people at the Sky Dome, the people that run the Sky Dome now, have someone with binoculars to watch those windows that look out over on the field, and if anybody does anything, they go right up to the room and boot them out of the hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, bummer.
So get that guy on the phone. I'd love to talk to that guy. He's so defiant.
Yeah.
You know, the judge says you can't go. He says, not only am I going to wear a disguise that I'm going to go, but I'm going to bang my girlfriend during a game this year.
Pretty easy, though. You know, it is Buffalo. Hey, look at those two people in the rainbow wigs up there going at it.
You remember the guy we saw at the Super Bowl? When we were coming out of the Super Bowl.
So sad. I felt so bad for the Buffalo fans.
About 10 years ago, when the Redskins played the Bills in the Super Bowl, Mike and I went to the game, and we're coming out of the game, and Redskins won, like, by a million points. And
so just another one of the Super Bowls that the Bills had lost.
We were just ready. We were so ready to bust balls. We came out of the stadium, and we went out into the street. It was in Minneapolis, and there was a Bills fan who had shaved his head and had painted a Buffalo Bills helmet on his head.
Yeah, the perfect, you know, carved into his skull. Obviously something that was going to stay with him for a while, and we were getting all ready, you know, to go and go, hey, Redskins rule. And you looked at this. We have never...
We couldn't do it.
Ever seen a more pathetic guy. He was so depressed.
We couldn't do it. We couldn't bust balls.
And it was, you know, the head was so festive, but the mood was so low. It was sad.
In any other circumstance, this would have been a guy that we would have yelled at all night long.
You know, if he wearing a big hat or something like that, it would have been different. But no, he was
shaved his head.
And it wasn't what he was wearing. It wasn't the carved in head as much as the look on his face was just, he was just devastated by it.
The guy's head was painted red like a Buffalo Bills helmet.
That's a fat guy. You know, he's a guy that looks like, you know, one of those guys in the many beer commercials that you see. You know the beer commercial where the guy drops the beer and gets lectured?
Yes.
And the, you know, goes, oh, I better start consoling his family. That's exactly what the guy looked like, only with a blue head.
Those genie pants, those tiger striped genie pants.
Yeah, it was so sad.
Dave Schreiber pants.
Not an inch of this guy that wasn't covered with Buffalo Bills merchandise.
Mm. And we came up lame. We couldn't do it.
Yeah, you did it one time during the game, though, to somebody. I forgot who it was.
Yeah, well, during the game, I was kind of out of control.
It was funny, though. It was funny because, you know, as you've admitted to on a number of occasions, you are not what would be described as the world's best winner.
No.
And I forgot.
No, I'm not. And my team was winning the Super Bowl.
It was so funny. I don't know. You're doing like a little dance or something.
I think Buffalo originally went up in that game like 7-0, and some Bills fans were talking some garbage.
Uh-huh.
Then later, when it became like 50-7, Redskins winning.
Right.
You know, I took the opportunity.
Got to be like Willie and George, though, my buddies. When they go to a game, if there's another fan in the section, they will actually walk over rows. They'll walk down to them, and they're both, you know, the size of Willie and George.
Oh, sure.
Right?
They're huge men.
The brothers Katrumpus. And, you know, they'll, like, put their arms around the guy. They end up defending him because he has no choice because he's in a state of total terror.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Yeah, hi. Don't hang up on me this time. Why don't you tell them that the Renaissance took place in the 1500s?
Honey, why don't you turn your radio down? Why don't you turn your radio down, and why don't you figure out that you're talking to us before you call and act so smart to tell us that the Renaissance Festival was in the 1500s instead of the 1800s?
Not the festival, the actual Renaissance.
I don't care.
Okay.
It matters not to me. I do not take advice from people who cannot turn their radios down and don't know they're talking to us.
Well, somebody else answered and hung up on me before.
We did not.
I'm very sorry. Okay.
We accept your apology, ma'am.
Okay. I wanted to let you know so that your listeners are not misled.
We mislead our listeners every day on this show.
Constantly.
That's what my husband says.
That's one of our best traits.
Right.
Is giving out false information.
Right. Well, you can clarify it then.
Yes.
1500.
And Abraham Lincoln was president in 1964.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. As we always say, this show is both educational and entertaining.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes, I got a question for Rob.
Yeah. He's here. Hi, Robbie.
Hello. What can I do for you?
How does a blind man know when to stop wiping his ass?
You know, can I be honest with you? I've worked on the Don and Mike Show for a long period of time. What's your first name?
Steve.
You know, Steve, can I tell you that I'm personally very offended by that comment?
Why?
Why don't you tell him the truth, Rob?
I'm blind.
Is that right? That you're blind?
Well,
people don't realize that, but I am, and I think
you
it's...
You could tell me.
I know, but I think it's, you know, a chance for everybody to know that right now, and I'm pretty offended by that.
Tell them about your other disabilities, Rob.
I have many. Which one do you want to start with? Do you want to start with my club foot?
Your club
foot? I'm blind, I have a club foot, and I also have panic attacks. Horrible, horrible panic attacks.
Sorry to hear that.
No.
Tell them about your sexual diseases.
I have total sexual dysfunction due to a terrible raging case of genital warts.
You too?
Now, you're not taking me seriously, and I'm offended by you. Go away! Go away! I'm announcing the Redskins.
Hello, Don, in my show.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, my friend.
Hey, I was just calling to say that on Saturday, starting at 8 on the Game Show Network, they're showing 6 back-to-back episodes of The Dating Game, and one of them features the Grassroots.
Really?
Where they would actually be all of the Grassroots would. I mean,
was it
three?
Just Rob Girl?
No, it's a vintage. It's like vintage dating game, and it's called the Dating Game Summer of Love concert. It's like
maybe they had all three guys from the dating.
Oh, the three
from
the guys from,
right.
From the Grassroots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are the other two guys besides Rob Girl?
I have no freaking idea.
Each episode will feature a concert. So,
oh, we'll feature a concert.
Yeah, so
with Jim Lang.
I don't know.
Big,
yeah,
big aviator glasses.
Love Jim Lang.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right,
thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey guys.
Hey Baldy.
Hey, did you hear? You got to add one to the tally board there for McGuire.
Are you talking about when he tied it up yesterday?
Yes, he got. He's got 51.
Right, that would be yesterday's news, Jimmy Olsen.
Sorry, I'm late.
We had that on the show yesterday.
All right, I'm a stooge.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Right. Okay.
All right, well, you got it right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
You're going easy on him a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You know.
He's having a Sammy update. Oh, my God. Red hot tongues are flying.
Hello, Don and Mike show. You know me so well. My many volatile moods. Hello, Mood Swing show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Am I on with Don and Mike?
Yes.
You sound different on the phone. My fault.
No, we don't.
No, come on, please. Stop saying that crap, everybody. Stop it. What can we do for you?
I got a back way for you to the Renaissance Festival. Tell Don or tell Mike to be there.
Wait. Hold it.
Hold on, please. You are talking to us now.
We just
That's
said
what I
that.
Said.
No. You said tell Don or tell Mike. Now, why
I was
are you saying
to Mike to tell Don?
No, you weren't.
No, you didn't.
Tell Don or tell Mike. Admit your error.
I admit my error.
Okay, goodbye forever.
Hello. Oh, I just cleared all the lines.
That's after we cleared it, too, didn't we? I mean, we cleared
I thought we did yesterday.
You're talking to us. I know. My mistake. Well, you don't sound the same. Tell Don or tell Mike.
How many times are you going to have to play this tape today?
You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Okay.
Can we say it any clearer than that?
No.
You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
All right. We researched the phone number of the guy in Buffalo.
Good.
Let's try to call him.
Oh, man, I'd love to talk to this guy.
Tom Tchaikovsky.
Tom Tchaikovsky.
He's now engaged to this girl. He thinks they're going to get married.
Nice Polish boy.
So very close to not being premarital sex.
Right, almost.
Oh, technically it is.
Mm-hmm.
Premarital NFL sex.
I wonder if it was bad sex.
Oh, you think so?
You think it was butt sex?
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. All right, we'll keep trying.
Buffalo style.
Guys, phone number is busy. Oh, I had some sex stuff for you. We got a letter here.
Yes.
With some naked pictures.
Really?
Yes, let me open this up. And it says, Dear Don and Mike, maybe you remember back in February, my husband and I sent you a photo taken when I was breastfeeding.
Oh, dear.
It was quite a turn-on for us. Hearing your enthusiastic reaction to the picture. Don't you remember this girl's picture? She was standing on the street, and she opened her shirt up, and she had just the biggest boobs.
Oh, yeah, but it wasn't a breastfeeding picture.
No,
it was just a picture of her big boobs.
But they were big because she had been breastfeeding at the time. Do you remember that we put the picture actually up in the window?
Well, you actually had it in here for a long period of time.
For the longest time. Christine Kerner, every day, she would set the board up for me.
Right.
She would set out all the prize stuff and all the phone stuff, and then she would very daintily take the picture of the topless girl and put it right in the center of the board for me.
Motivational picture.
Every day. I was a little disappointed you didn't say what celebrity you think I most resemble, but you guys said you don't receive enough pictures like mine. And you said I should send you more nude pictures.
Sure.
I guess you can say the enclosed photos are my early Christmas gift to you. As you can see, I am no longer a 40 double E.
Whoa.
But as my husband likes to say, my boobs have their good points.
Okay.
I hope you enjoy these pictures as much as the first one I sent you. And this time you'll tell me which celebrity I most resemble. A few weeks ago, you got some photos from a woman who wondered if she was good enough to be in Playboy. How about rating me? Thanks for your first compliments and for always entertaining us. And this is from Rhonda in Sacramento.
Rhonda!
And it's quite a change for Rhonda.
Really?
If you remember that original photo with those 40 double E's,
mm-hmm.
She went out and...
It doesn't look like the same woman.
She went out in the woods and had her husband take some naked pictures of her. There's the second one, Mike.
Wow, very tastefully done. Very nice. Very nice outdoorsy shots.
And here's the third one. Looks like it's just taken on a mattress.
Oh, dear.
That was a little sleazier.
Wow.
Yeah, but she's absolutely naked. And it's the same girl. Look at the face. Don't you remember the face that she made in the original picture?
Yeah, that,
she...
that same kind of...
Yeah, that's
right. That's right. That's...
It's absolutely the same woman. I only wish she had put a phone number here.
Yeah.
Because we would send her photos around the office and have the lads rate them.
Boy, oh boy.
Don't smell them.
I always, you know.
Howard, why did you smell them?
I smell everything. How would you guys rate them, just taking a look at them off the top?
I liked when she was breastfeeding better.
Uh-huh. I think those are better photographs. Those are better, you know, out in the, you know, woods.
Right.
And
this one.
I like that one.
Don't her boobs look kind of droopy there?
Just a little bit.
I mean, don't they kind of look like basset hound ears?
No, not that bad. I think they're actually okay.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. That's a much better picture.
Yeah.
Where she's not leaning over.
I think they've held up rather well.
Yeah, pretty
compared
good.
To some. You know, when we had the ugly breast contest, we definitely saw.
She does have. And a lesbian nipple.
Okay, I'm so glad. You know, sometimes it's so refreshing because you say the things I want to say, and I don't have the guts to say them all the time.
And a lesbian when she was here last week for Strip Trivia. I hope she calls up and she discusses her nipples with us someday.
I would like her to do that. I really would. Sure.
We didn't bring it up in front of the group of people last week because we didn't want to embarrass her in front of everybody else. But
right.
She has got some very distinctive nipples.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, she's the kind of person who'd talk to us about it.
I think so. Very honest and open. So, and the not-so-butch lesbian, if you're listening, call us. And Mike and I would like to discuss your nipple situation.
Please, please do.
Yeah, we had something else that came in the mail that I wanted to show you. We received an urgent overnight FedEx package from Helen.
Helen?
You remember Helen Jingle Boy's mother?
Oh, God.
All right, now, she didn't send us a song this time.
Thank God for that.
She sent us a copy of Paper Magazine. Paper People Fashion Arts. As you can see, it's a real magazine. It has Ben Stiller
on the cover. What's that, like an industry trade publication?
No, I don't think so, because I look at it. There's an ad for Ralph Lauren polo jeans.
Paper. I'm not familiar with that.
Calvin Klein. It's a new magazine, obviously. It looks like a step up from People magazine. Okay, it's like halfway between People and GQ.
What's next, like rubber?
And balls and liquor. And if you go to the middle, she has highlighted a couple of pages. And remember when she told us that she was going to get her son, Richie,
yes,
in some ads?
Richie, the jingle boy.
There is Richie in an ad for...
That's a biggie.
For Dinky Jeans.
That's a huge... That's DKMY. That's huge.
Right? There he is with 6 girls around
that's
him.
That is a big-time Madison Avenue photo shoot. That is huge. That is a big Donna Karan, New York.
Absolutely.
Right. That's Donna... Amazing.
Right. That is Richie the Jingle Boy.
Look at how... But my God, I mean, he doesn't fit.
Let me see if they have his name in here. They say, Lori wears a top by Dinky Jeans, jeans by Sheet Jeans, top by WLT, shirt by Guess, blah, blah, blah. Richie wears a top.
Wow.
By WNLT, jeans by EVISU.
Look at him with all those models lying on the ground. I mean, it's a great photo shoot for him.
Isn't that something?
Amazing.
So that's
a big time.
Richie the Jingle Boy, and as you can see, he wrote a note for us along with his first ad. Don and Mike, look, I'm not gay. The babes love me.
Can't argue with a photograph, I'll tell you that. Way to go, Richie.
Richie from Nyack, New York.
Richie's in the hot photo shoot with them, and they're not those kind of emaciated models you see a lot. You know, the guys that are in the Calvin Klein. That trend is actually going away. They're going back to more normal.
What's the one where they're singing the song? I love those ads for the vest where they go, I'm going to dress you up in my love.
Oh, I hate that. They're so
I love those ads.
Gap.
They're great. They're so much better than the old Navy ads.
You do.
Oh, those ads are fantastic.
Horrible.
I'm going to dress you up in my love.
They're like the ugliest models I've ever seen.
Oh, those are distinctive ads, man. Those are good ads. I love those ads. They kick ass.
Where'd you see it? Was it advertising Little House on the Prairie?
I don't think they buy it. I think a Little House keeps a little older than the gap. Have you seen? There's a second one that I didn't catch it today.
Me neither.
There's a second Gap ad where they're singing another song now. Same style.
Yeah,
Mellow
singing,
Yellow
the
for
Chord.
That's right. We call them Mellow Yellow.
Donovan, the old Donovan song?
Right. Quite right.
Were they wearing the vests again?
Yes.
And chords.
Yeah, right. The Vest and Course.
Right.
Great. Great ad campaign. Love it. I swear to God.
Could you hit that little tape that you play for me all the time when I say I like something like that?
Oh. What, you think I'm a fag? You think I'm a faggo because I like the Gap commercial?
They're very gay.
All right.
They're very gay.
I'm
going to
dress you up in my love. I'm playing for myself. I don't mind. You know what I do hate, though? And they run often, like, one stop set away. They'll run the ads for the Gap for right. their vest. Then they'll run the Old Navy ad.
With the lady with the... Let the runway be your guide.
The lady with the dog that's supposed to be playing the hip-hop.
Right.
Thank you, Rob. Yes, I hear.
It's a private one. I don't share it. Let the runway be your guide. With her big glasses.
I hate that old bitch.
Yeah. Didn't they hire her originally because she looked like Mrs. Howell?
No. She is a real-life fashion editor.
Well, I know that, but I mean, didn't they have, wasn't the first Old Navy commercial based on a Gilligan's Island type
mm-hmm.
of thing?
Mm-hmm. They
really?
Hired her because
she's a fashion writer.
Well-known in the fashion industry.
Right.
Yeah. They've had the Jeffersons in their commercials.
You know,
yeah.
And, of course, the regular recurring role of Morgan Fairchild.
Right.
Sherman Hemsley was on the verge of bankruptcy. It was those Old Navy commercials that saved his butt.
You're a big Old Navy supporter, aren't you?
I've bought some things there.
Yeah.
The clothes are cheap.
Let me try Jingle Boys Mom again. Yes, Robbie.
I believe Old Navy is owned by Gap.
Okay.
I think they're like a bigger, cheaper runway.
So maybe the same related campaign.
Could be.
914.
Let the runway be your guide.
1625 is not in service at this time.
Oh.
No further information is available.
All right, Robbie, see if you can find a better number, please. Because that number that we have for Jingle Boys Mom is no longer in service.
That's the only number they've ever given us.
Uh-oh. All right. Okay. Let's try the guy in Buffalo again. The guy who wants to make love to his girlfriend at the Bills.
Guys, head of the defiant ones. Let the bleachers be your guide. Let the intercourse be your guide.
I'm going to dress you up in my love.
We're doing the campaign now.
All over your body. Good ad. Yellow. Quite right. Those are good ads, man. I get into those ads. I really do. I don't turn the channel when those ads are on.
Right.
And they run them all the time. Non-stop they run those ads.
Let the runway be your guide. That's all I have to say.
What's the dog's name? She always says something like, nice going, Scooter, or whatever, the stupid dog's name is.
Where's the peanut butter, Scooter?
Hello. Not in my show. Hello.
Hold on. I'm trying to make calls here.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm calling from Lafayette, Louisiana. Just calling and say I love your show, man.
Oh, love you, sir.
All righty.
Love you.
All right, thank you.
Hey, sir.
Uh-huh.
I want to dress you up in my love.
No, won't work.
All over your body. Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, turn your radio down, please.
Oh, it's down, sir.
The dog's name is Magic.
Magic. Wow. The dog's name was Magic.
Charlie Broyhill wrote that down for me. Magic. Get the Skippy peanut butter.
Can you spell it M-A-J-I-K?
He wrote it like this.
Let me see him write.
Magic.
Yes,
Magic.
Bad handwriting.
Let the runway be your guide, Magic.
Hello.
Yo.
Pretty good?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Turn the radio down, please. Come on.
Radio. Well, you guys have been complaining about your station there. Why don't you guys come out here to Sacramento and live out here?
Have you heard the disclaimer that we played at the beginning of the show?
Yes.
Your radio's still up. How have we complained about our station here?
You guys at the beginning of your show every day, you say that it smells of death, and
it does,
and how bad it sucks there with all the equipment.
It's our standard opening,
right? Well,
and then play a very large disclaimer that says, "And no calls about when we're coming to your city."
Technically,
No. Right. I'm talking about move out
right.
here.
See, this guy doesn't want us to come out there for an appearance. This guy wants us to actually move to Sacramento,
and he does. There is a fine studio in Sacramento.
Yeah,
they do have nice equipment. However, at KHTK, that radio station also smells. Of death.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, that's true, because the certain person was working there. I forgot about that.
Right.
Smell the death, Magic.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Here's my guy.
Don and Mike.
Hello, friend.
Don and Mike.
You gotta
have a great review.
Music selection.
Oh, very circus music-like.
I don't know where he gets it. And it's clear and it's crisp every time he goes. He's got a fine telephone.
I don't know if you're listening, sir, but I got a message for you. I want to dress you up in my love. In my love. All over your body.
Wear the vest, Magic.
We will be back right after this.
This is the dog. Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right, it's time for another kooky, crazy call.
Another kooky, crazy call is still a copyrighted feature.
And this time, I'm disguising my voice and calling a charter airline. I'm going to attempt to charter a plane to Australia. Let's see what happens.
International charter.
I'd like to charter a plane to Australia.
I'll connect you with Mr. Leonard. Who shall I say is calling?
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown, one moment, please.
Yes, this is Mr. Leonard.
Yes, I'm interested in chartering a plane to Australia.
This is Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Let me ask you, how many people are going to be involved in this charter?
Well, I'm not exactly, not sure yet.
I'll tell you, it's really pointless to discuss this kind of thing until we know just exactly how many people are going to be involved. So, why don't you give me a call back when you have a bit more information?
Well, all right.
Okay.
They're not nice, but I'll introduce them because I'm nice. I'm Dean Walker, and here's Don and Mike.
They're so nice, they pick me as their spokesman because I'm nice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, lady.
I am calling from Las Vegas, Nevada, and just called to tell you that I just love your show, and everybody here enjoys the hell out of it. You guys just kick ass.
Oh, well, love you.
God bless you.
I just love it. You guys are too funny.
Well, you're very nice. Thank you.
All right.
Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you wearing the suit now?
Sort of.
Oh. Do you have the Tig old biddies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really? Yeah.
How Tig are your biddies?
Let me see. 38D?
Whoa!
Oh, 38D? Round of applause for this woman's biddies.
Thank you.
Her tiggle biddies.
Her tiggle
like
biddies.
Carrying around about, a 20-pound boulder on your chest, but that's okay.
It's okay because I guess the rewards outweigh the problems.
When you were in school, and a kid would say when a girl had a tight bra on her, she'd say, that's quite an over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
Yes.
Bette Midler
invented
that.
That's exactly what they call that.
What was it?
I think Bette Midler invented that phrase, or at least she used it a lot.
Really? Yeah. I used to know kids all the time would say that in school. Hello? Oh.
The over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
Don and Mike Show. Hello? All right, timely reminder to try the guy in Buffalo again.
That was Tropical Storm Dennis calling in.
You know, during the commercials, we dialed this guy's number and it rang.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get through to him now. It's the guy that had sex at the Buffalo Bills Stadium. With the thing in the news, I'm sure he's gotten a lot of interview requests.
Yeah, he probably has.
With his fiance.
Hello?
Uh-huh. With his fiance.
Well, it is ringing.
Oh, no.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
This is Mr. Brown. Want to shout out airliner? Call me back if you have somebody.
This has like a definite ring this time.
Uh-huh.
Calling
Tom Chakowski.
Tom Chakowski.
Hello there, Mr. Chakowski. Bills are going all the way.
Hello.
Mr. Chakowski.
Speaking. One of them.
Okay, this is the Don and Mike radio show?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? What? I'm sure this is the Don and Mike show. What do you mean you don't think
so? The wrong guy. Okay?
Hey, hold on a second.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Hold on. I'm
the one that's got to be polite, okay?
Don't be so hostile, man. What have we done to you?
You people have been, everybody's been calling, and you got the wrong.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Well, we apologize.
Settle down. This is the first time we've called you, you son of a bitch.
Oh, you are sweet.
We're sorry.
You're on the air.
You know, the problem.
This is the first time we've called you. If you would have just said, listen, I'm not the guy, we would have said, okay, thank you very much.
We're sorry for the confusion. We're looking for the other guy, obviously.
Okay, well, goodbye, and thanks for your sweet talk. Bye-bye.
Oh, F you.
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with people?
Really,
wrong guy.
Wrong with people?
Well, you know what? I don't do this very often, but I have to, if he has gotten the amount of calls that
then take your phone off the hook.
He's probably, here's a guy that happens to have the same name. Hey, man, 5:30 this morning, you know that's when they start.
Right.
Hey, I understand you had sex in Buffalo Stadium.
All right, call him back off the air, though.
Oh.
Okay. I'll let you know what he says.
Hello? Yes, hello, this is Tom Tchaikovsky. And good afternoon, buddy. This is the Breakfast Flake Show, and we're doing our radio show right now. Hey, what was it like having sex, man, at the Buffalo Bills game? Hello? I have reached the wrong Thomas Tchaikovsky. Hello?
He was more civil.
Uh-huh.
So was us. He was more civil to me going like this than he was when we actually called and just said, hey, it's the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, well, we bring that out in people.
Very civil. He said, you've reached the wrong Thomas Tchaikovsky. I didn't have sex at the Buffalo game. Thank you.
So the real Thomas Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky.
Please stand up.
Look, yes, it's me. I was the guy that had the sex in, what is it, Don? Rich Stadium? Rich Stadium in Buffalo. All right, we've got other numbers. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad he did it in preseason, because when the wind blows, it can be mighty chilly in Rich Stadium. You know, it's one of them open-air jobs.
I'm glad Doug Flutie didn't see that.
That's for sure. He would have been distracted.
Little Doug Flutie.
Hey, Ma, where's my Flutie flakes?
Hello?
This is a different number now.
Okay. Hello? This is area code 71.
La 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 la.
Barry, you're right. I can't get the phone right now.
It's another.
Something tells me this is not the guy.
That's not the guy either.
Thank you for calling.
You never boned a girl at the Buffalo Bills game, right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Who wants to be a millionaire?
We have one other number.
I guess it's a bit of a common name in the Buffalo region.
One of Tchaikovsky's.
Tchaikovsky.
Did you see the ratings? I know Buzz had this on his news.
Yes.
Did you see the goddamn ratings for that Regis Millionaire show?
Unbelievable.
Oh, and he's so full of himself. I watched the Regis show today, the Regis and Kathy C show.
Was he gloating?
Oh. He's holding up USA Today.
Right.
He's holding it up, and he's pointing to this picture of himself.
Oh, hold on. Where is it?
Oh, you know, he must have had a different edition of USA Today.
Hi. You've reached 937.
Huh?
Oh.
Can't give out that phone number.
Come on, cut it out.
Right now, but your call is important to us. So please leave your name and message.
Oh, he's on the front page.
Back to you.
Is that where it is? That's even worse. Oh, God, he's up in the upper right-hand corner.
Right.
Right up here.
Hey,
there it is, Don.
Hey, did you have sex with a girl at the Buffalo Bills game? If you did, please call us immediately at 1-800-275-4277. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Million raking in ratings. Television's newest quiz show is ringing in viewers and making a bundle.
Yeah, so the whole opening to the Regis and Kathy C show today was Regis holding this up and saying how his show is number one in the ratings, which, no lie,
was it is. Killing her?
Do you know that last week it was the number one rated show of all shows on TV, higher than Raymond, higher than Frasier, higher than 60 Minutes, was the stupid Regis Philbin How to Be a Millionaire show.
Amazing, but true.
And he said today on his Regis show, he said, watch tonight. Something very big happens tonight. I don't want to give it away, Kathy Lee.
So is he kind of, you know, you never know, it's Regis. He's just goosing the ratings.
He's hinting to the fact that
they might
actually give away the $1 million.
How's Kathy Lee taking all this?
Okay. on the surface, very well.
Right.
But if you've watched the show enough to know, she is going so over the top to appear that it doesn't bother her.
Right.
You know it's killing her. And here's a small inkling. I'm watching today, and she says, well, my Reege. And she's doing the thing where she's patting his hand.
Sure, sure. Well, she smells the money, too.
She goes, my Reege. Good for you. You've waited a long time.
Oh.
You're finally on top of the mountain. He says, yes, and it's very sweet. She said, and you knew that show was right for you. He said, yes, I did. She said, that's why you called the network and told them you had to have that job.
She's an evil woman.
Yes. He says, well, yes, you're right. And she said, because they've come to you before, but you haven't thought the idea was right. But you heard this idea, and you called them, and you said, I have to do this show.
There it is right there.
I swear to God. So you get it in a roundabout way. Right. She's saying,
he begged the network for the job.
Yes, you have this show. It's successful. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't have it if you hadn't called the network, because they didn't call you.
Right. Oh, she is evil.
Yeah.
Oh, she is evil.
You got to read between the lines like that. You know she's upset about it.
You know, you got to root for him on that level alone, that it's driving her crazy. Absolutely.
You stick it out of there.
And last night when I watched, and I turn the show on every once in a while, the Millionaire Show. I end up getting mad, and I can't watch the show.
I think it's so slow.
Because the people that they have, the contestants, although last night they had a lady who at least, when he would ask her the question, she would just say, oh, it's George McGovern. B, that's my final answer, Regis.
And it would subvert him going, that's your final answer?
But then he would still wait, and he'd still go, you are? They would look down at the paper. He'd get a troubled look on his face. Absolutely right.
Yeah, he thinks, you know, it's him doing his big theatrics and that small mind of his.
What I hate about that show, the few times I've watched it, is that the first five or six questions are like Tom Gavin questions.
Yeah, and they put in the comedy answers at the end, which I hate also.
D, you know, is always a goofy answer.
Right, exactly.
And then by the time you get up to 32,000, that's when it's tough.
Right.
And every single time I've watched the show, maybe I haven't watched it at the right time, when a person gets to 32 grand, that's always where they lose.
Right. Yeah, because they jump dramatically in the degree of difficulty.
There's no middle ground.
Right.
They don't go from kind of easy to kind of hard to hard. It goes from your Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump.
Do you want to use the lifeline? Would you like to use the lifeline of the audience or call somebody at home? And I just think, do you agree that still the game moves at such a snail's pace that that's where it loses me? I like to get the answers. Bingo, 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 right. You know?
Even with the editing. And you know when they do the obvious edit? It's when someone uses the lifeline and they say, I want to call my friend Mike. And
Regis
goes, okay, let's do that courtesy of, you know, Bell Atlantic, whoever it's courtesy of. And then there's an obvious edit that you can drive a truck through because the phone rings. And then Regis has to make out like the person on the phone doesn't know what's going on, like they haven't been told you might be called in this half hour.
Uh-huh. This is Regis Philbin from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
And we are here with Janice. She has a question for you now.
Janice, you have 30 seconds, and it's all very tidy and very neat. It works in the right time frame.
And the question last night that she had to call for help on, I find it hard to believe that a question of that's this easy, this much of a softball, would require a woman calling someone. Who scored the winning goal for the Women's Cup soccer team?
Mm-hmm.
And they had names like, you know, Mayhem.
Right.
And, of course, it's Brandy Chastain.
Right.
Who doesn't know that?
And you know it. You know it certainly in the multiple choice format. You know immediately you recognize that name.
Right. And everybody knows that's the girl that took her shirt off to show her sports bra.
Right.
This lady, she is dumbfounded by this.
Just was out of the loop when that happened.
She goes, well, sports is not my area.
Some people, especially really smart people like that woman, live in isolated little worlds and they're completely out of touch with pop culture. Sure, you throw them a question like that, they can't handle it.
And what was the other one she had trouble with? Which one of the Spice Girls is an ambassador for the UN? And then they put Baby Spice, Posh Spice, Ginger Spice.
Is it Ginger?
Yeah, and that's always, of course, it's Ginger Spice.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, this is my final answer.
You confident?
I'm confident. Tell me if I got it right or not.
You are... wrong, right. Right, wrong.
I think it is a testament to the fact that there's nothing on TV.
I agree. It's perfect time for this show.
Every show that's on right now is rerun. Every show that's on you've seen before.
Right.
So you turn that show on, you say, hey, I'd like to see somebody win $1 million. But every time I turn it on, and the other thing that really fried my ass is I watched the guy who was just flying through these questions.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I root for those people.
Even with Regis slowing him down,
right.
This guy, like, you know how sometimes when they answer a question, they'll go, well, I once studied in the state of Massachusetts, and I lived on Quimby Street, and I ruled at a monarchy, and I rooted for the red.
Like you want to go?
Answer. Thus far, I know the answer must be Carl Yastrzemski. I mean, they give you a 20-minute lead.
Right.
No, this guy, he would look at the thing, he'd go, Regis, that's B. My final answer is B. Beautiful. I'm watching, thinking this guy's going to get the money. Fantastic.
Right.
He gets up to $64,000. They put the question up, and the guy says, you know what? I don't know the answer. I'd like to quit. The guy didn't even guess.
Right.
Because you can quit at any time.
Well, you have the little the levels where you go back to a certain amount of money, and that would get him like a guaranteed $64,000. $32,000, right.
Yeah. Well, why would you quit? Why wouldn't you just take a guess at it? If you were going to lose anyway and you're still going to win $32,000.
Yeah, that's right.
He was.
I mean, if you're going to fall back to that level, whether you win or not.
The guy had won $32,000.
So he didn't even try to go for it.
He was at the $64,000 question. Even if he got
it
wrong.
And there was no penalty if he took a stab at it.
Right. If he got it wrong, he would still win $32,000. He said, no, you know what? I'm happy just to leave with $32,000.
You sure? You don't want to try, you overwhelming wussy?
Are you sure? You confident?
Oh, please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. This lady wants to talk about that show. Hello.
Yeah, that woman last night was so stupid. They asked her if Bob, who was the Republican nominee in 96?
You're right. Kidding. She didn't know that?
She didn't know it was Bob Dole.
I thought the screening process, like, weeds out the idiots.
She didn't know it was Bob Dole. She was absolutely flabbergasted.
You know what Reed just said to her during the commercial breaks?
Don't worry, darling. I didn't know either.
And then she tried to save herself by saying, well, I never look at that side of the voting board.
Yeah, right. She was a total egghead, that woman last night.
I wish I could be on that show. I would be so good on that show.
Yes. Yeah.
Why ask do you me sound, something, Reed.
Call up and qualify.
You sound familiar to me. I know who you think it is, and I don't think it's her. You think it's Gladys Kravitz, don't you?
No, I know
you don't.
It's the Cher lady.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Oh!
I want to be a millionaire.
Oh, Mike, you get the prize.
Way to go, it's the Cher lady, a frequent caller, almost to the level of Gladys Kravitz.
No, I don't call anymore because I know I won't get on the air.
All right, let's hear some of your Cher.
Let's see. They say I love won't pay the rent before it's gone. Our money's all been spent.
Yeah, you are.
Cher
that,
lady.
Is that your final answer?
Good ear, Mike.
I thought it was Kravitz.
They have a similar timbre.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm calling from Winchester, Virginia, and I was listening to you. I listen to you all the time when I'm coming home from work.
Thank you.
And I love your show. I've listened to you since you were on WAVA. But I wanted to make a comment about that stupid show, especially Regis Philbin. He makes me sick. the other night, he was doing the show, and there was a guy on there who was overweight, and he goes, my answer is B. And the guy goes, final answer? Yes, that's my final answer. And he sits there and he pauses for a good 30 seconds. And the guy says, Regis, I'm fat. You're going to give me a heart attack.
I wish more people would give it, because Regis just, it's almost like Regis is lazy, and he doesn't want to, like, deal with lots of questions.
I don't think he's lazy. I think he's stupid. If someone has said to him, Regis, play up the dramatic angle on this show.
It's either or. It's two negatives right there. But he likes to drag it out, and he just thinks that he's the master television pitchman, doesn't he? And it's like,
he's making him out like he's some smart person, but really he's just a stupid dummy.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
I can't stand him. He just looks like a little toad to me.
All right, you are
right.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
The slower they go, the less money they have to give away. The more they can drag that out.
Yeah, what do they care, though?
I don't think they do care.
I think it's a combination of the stupidity of Regis and just a little laziness. Like, if I really hem and haw, that 15 minutes of Lee be up. We'll have another one in the can who wants to be a millionaire.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I like to go caca. Foo-foo-poo-poo.
All right, thank you. Hello, turn your radio down, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I want to talk to Don and Mike about the millionaire show.
All right, you're talking to us now.
Hey, honey, come on into that living room. The millionaire show's on.
You're on the air with us now.
Don and Mike, radio god. Hey, I just wanted to clarify. I think the guy that you were talking about that said I wanted to quit, he was up to 64K, and he was going for the 125.
Well, why would he quit, though?
Because he got 64,000.
Oh, I thought he only had 32. Well, either way, I don't like it when someone quits. Just, you know, if you're there, keep going with it, man.
So that would have wiped out the 64 grand if he missed it.
Yeah, but if he would have missed it, he would have dropped all the way back to 32. But he already won 64.
Oh, all right.
Well, all right. But either way, that's still cheesy, man. I like if you're gonna go on a game show like that.
I don't like the format.
Be a gambler.
I don't like the format either. I don't like that. I don't like having to force people. It's not a good game show when you really force people. You know. I didn't like that element of let's make a deal, Don.
All right, here's a guy who says his son's math teacher is the guy that quit.
Oh.
Hello, Cal?
Yeah, hi, Don.
That's your son's math teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a big pussy, I think.
Well, no, I'll tell you what, he's a very smart guy. The kids all say he's the smartest guy they've ever seen. He coaches the IT academic team. He won $35,000.
That's the end of the round.
Well, if he's so smart, how come he didn't keep going?
Well, because one thing he doesn't know is television and stuff. And the question, he'd used up all his helplines. He had won $64,000. So he was going to have to take a 1 out of 4 guess.
Right. It
was $32,000.
I understand that, but if you're on a freaking game show,
this overrated morning show host of a TV show has his own primetime game show, Stonewall Jackson.
Because my point is, if you're on a game show and you have the chance to advance, take the chances. But if you're guaranteed 32 grand.
I know, you should. You should take it.
You should go with it, man.
But the difference was the extra 32,000.
But I see, I hate it when they give them that fallback position.
They shouldn't be allowed to quit.
You ought to be, you know what? You ought to go, what, you know, hear me out here. Don't you think if they went up through all the tiers and if they quit, they don't get a thing?
That would be ideal.
I agree with you, but I'm telling you, if I'm sitting in that seat and I got a 1 in 4 shot of losing.
Well, you know what? Then you shouldn't be on a game show, man, where people want to watch people take chances.
Absolutely.
Maybe you're just there because you're trying to win some money.
What they should do is they should, if you have the question revealed to you, you should have to take a guess at it. But you can quit at any time as long as you already
answered
the question.
I agree. You shouldn't get the question and then be able to quit. That's a good idea.
That's how it should be.
That would add a little more to it. Then it shows you, you know, hey, do you want to go to the next level for real? I mean, and you have no idea what the question is going to be.
Then it's fun.
Right.
Well, please tell your son's math teacher, Mr. Pussy, that I said hello.
I'll do that.
Thank you, much.
Sure, bye.
Tell him I wouldn't have quit.
His teeth look like dinner plates, Madison High School.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you already. I read the article in the paper from that guy who quit.
Yeah.
And he said that it was just, you know, he'd never seen the show NYPD Blue, so he had absolutely no shot at it.
No. You have a shot. You have a 1 in 4 shot.
Right.
Oh, I agree. But I think it's, you know, they're trying to make it all seem, you know, really dramatic every time you answer a question. What could be more dramatic than somebody seeing it so hard that he just suddenly has to quit?
Oh, I don't think that's dramatic at all. You think that it's dramatic when someone quits?
Well, as dramatic as them having the people sit there for 10 minutes to answer a simple A, B, or C question.
I think we all can agree the show sucks.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be getting the ratings that it's getting.
No quitting allowed.
Yeah, the only thing on opposite was Darman Greg or something like that.
This morning TV show host looks at Kathy Lee's nipples. McGruder.
Quitter.
You lost again. It's not fair. You're bigger than I am. It's not fair, Winchfight.
But nobody ever said life was fair, Tina. I'm bigger and I'm faster. I will always beat you.
Right.
Telling off.
Joan Crawford would not have quit on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
No, absolutely not. She would have gone all the way, fellas.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Am I on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow, I can't believe it. I love your show. I've been listening to it for years.
Love you, baby.
Thank you, darling.
Yes, I'm a law student also, so I want you to know that, you know, intellectuals listen to your show also, and we love you.
Of course they do. I've got a lot of law students that aren't intellectuals, though.
there's one that works here.
Yeah,
that's right. There's a guy that works here who passed the bar, and I guarantee he's no intellectual.
Money!
What is your IQ, darling?
Pardon?
What is your IQ?
132.
Whoa.
Wow. That ain't so great.
Tom, what was yours? You're off the charts, aren't you?
Approaching 400, I think.
But
pretty freaking incredible.
I can't believe it. It was really unable to be measured.
I wanted to say, the How to Be a Millionaire show, you really shouldn't knock it too much, because maybe now that Regis is making all this money, he can afford to give some money to his crippled son that he has been ignoring for years and years.
Oh, that's a nasty dig on Regis.
Have you read the tabloids?
Yeah, the tabloids are all over that.
They have pictures of this guy in a wheelchair, and he says, Regis is my dad, and Regis abandoned me and my mom.
Yeah, the tabloids have that. You know, it's like every 6 months or so you read an article like that.
And actually, I'll have to say, in Regis's behalf, that since all the bad publicity's come out about his handicapped son, who he dropped.
Right.
I don't mean physically dropped, but he kicked out of his life.
Wasn't he there for the wedding and stuff like that?
Yeah, he has his son.
He was a stand-up guy at the wedding.
He has his son on his show every once in a while. He says, there he is over the corner. My son Danny, isn't he marvelous? And
right.
The kid wheels himself out and... Regis patronizes him a little bit.
That's
great. At least he's being a father now. I just wanted to say that, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
The laugh.
Bye-bye. Too bad your IQ is 270 points lower than mine. I'll see you later.
Cameron Mannheim from The Practice, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio Kings.
Hi.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Who wants to be a dumbass?
Hey. Simple jokes are the best.
I just wanted to... what the hell is up with that little toad anyways? I mean, it looks...
Tonight on Who Wants to Be a Dumbass.
It looks like he's wearing eyeliner.
Now, please welcome America's number one dumbass, Mr. Regis Philbin.
Hi, how are you?
Who wants to be a stupid ass?
It's me, D.A.
It looks like he's wearing eyeliner. It looks like he shaves his eyebrows and wears bells off.
You know, Regis is a guy who television makeup and television helps quite a bit. If you've ever seen Regis when he might be, like, demonstrating one of the toys on the show... Regis and Kathy Lee, and they close in on his hands. He's in Talon territory.
Have you seen his fingernails? He has like Diana Ross fingernails.
He has like old man fingernails,
yes.
Unkempt fingernails.
A little too pampered.
Cadaver fingernails.
Do you think he's had any plastic surgery?
Yes.
The Reed?
Yeah.
Really?
He has been around. I'm not sure exactly how old he is.
He's older than George Gimble, but he's pretty close to George Gimble, right?
He comes out like wearing his Jack LaLanne outfit when they're going to do, some kind of exercise segment.
I'll be working out with Cindy Crawford today.
Now, look at the skin under my biceps.
It's hanging.
I was
like a porcelain doll. His face looks like a porcelain doll.
Okay, thank you, my friend.
Because he was announcing for Joey Bishop in like the mid-60s.
Right.
And that's, you have to be in the business a while to get a plum gig like that.
He wants to be 70.
Hello. Really, the last call. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, God. Hey, I'm still trying to get on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Keep trying, Dennis.
You know how they announce you, when they announce you, I don't have the time. Hi, guys, I'm Mike.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dennis, one of the lifelines won't be a Bud Light.
I know, but you know me?
I would kill myself if I ever turned the TV on. And wants to be a millionaire. Here's our contestant from Potomac, Maryland, Mr. Dennis Murphy.
We both kill ourselves. We both probably want to get tickets to be in the studio audience just to see it. That's my final answer. There you go. And Dennis, you think you can pull it off on that show?
I have gotten to 17,000, so I think I can do it.
Wants to wear a prosthetic.
by the way, I'm not Regis' handicapped son.
No, absolutely not, Dennis. No.
You're not, and you're giving Tom Gavin a ride to the beach house.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
He told me to ask myself last night.
Okay, all right.
I knew that would happen.
All right, beautiful. Thank you, Dan.
Hey, can I talk with Mike or Charlie? I've got to find out what time to show up tomorrow.
Show up tomorrow for what?
Kinkamingan.
Oh, right, sure. Hold on a second.
Thank you.
Hold on just a moment. We'll be back with more
after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The mayors of Biscuitville. Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We got to fill up that Homo Joe Beach House. We're going to do that in this hour. We're going to plug for tomorrow's episode. Yeah. Joining us here in the studio from the grassroots, my all-time favorite Rob Grill.
All right.
We'll be jamming. And also tomorrow, finally,
what I've
talked about this guy long enough, the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin will be on the show.
Man, am I looking forward to that. This is a guy that loves danger.
And his wife.
Now, how does his wife, do you know? I mean, I watched the show a couple of times, but I'm not sure how his wife fits into the equation.
I watch it all the time now, and she's actually on the show with him. She drives around
and touches the snakes.
She drives around in the Jeep with him.
Right.
And a lot of times when he's like wrapped, he got snakes wrapped around him and stuff, she stands next to him and she'll poke the snakes.
And I understand his father is the cameraman. That's
correct.
What I thought, that his father takes all the pictures.
There's an outside shot. His father will be on the line tomorrow also.
Oh, the hell, Irwin Klan. It's going to be really, really dangerous.
A big show tomorrow. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Listen, I just wanted to tell you guys, there are a lot of intellectual people that listen to your show. I have a PhD in chemistry. I laugh my butt off every time I hear you.
Now,
you're
there
great.
You go. Now, see, the law schools, the law student thing doesn't fall into that category.
Right.
The PhD in chemistry, you gotta have a smart brain for that. Get it? A smart brain?
Big smart brain.
Big smart brain.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for lowering. Thank you for lowering your standards to listen to the show. We appreciate
great
it.
Great humor standards, though.
Thank you, doctor.
High humor standards. Thanks, guys.
Hey, yeah, are you one of those people who makes people call you doctor?
Yeah, I am.
No, I would too if I had sure. All that education, and I mean you've earned it.
It's so pompous. I hate it.
Exactly.
I truly hate it. Right, I hate it. And I've got some friends that are doctors, and you know one I'm speaking of in particular.
Right, right.
Is one of my best friends in the world.
Sure.
When he calls for a reservation at a restaurant, I go, right. Yes, hello, this is Dr. McGillicuddy. I'm calling for a table of four, please. Oh, he's so goddamn pompous.
You're just, you're just shaking your head over there going, oh, come on, why?
It's pompous.
I use it for academic stuff when it's in my field of work. But other than that, you know, it's...
Oh, you never use it at a restaurant? You never drop it when you're even called? And like, I had to go to the eye doctor last week. Remember I told you all the problems with my contacts?
Right.
I had to go get my eyes examined. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, when I was in there, a guy called and he wanted to change his appointment. And I heard the girl at the front desk come back to the guy that was looking at my eyes and say, Dr. So-and-so is on the line, and he needs to change his appointment.
Right.
Even in that situation, you got to drop the doctor in.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Oh, yeah. I'd use it if I had to, especially if telemarketers are giving you a hard time and acting like you don't know what they're talking about.
That's why
you
Don know? And I, whenever we're going anywhere, we always use the, the surname Disc Jockey. Hi, this is Disc Jockey Don and Disc Jockey Mike, and people go nuts. Best table every time.
You know something else that gets me also? So you get guys, military guys, when they are not in a military capacity.
Okay, like retired, perhaps?
Yeah, a lot of times retired guys, and they'll call somewhere, they go, hi, this is Colonel McGillicuddy.
Right.
I would like a table for three, please.
I don't know why you have a problem with that, Don.
Right, Major Bill.
I don't understand why you can't realize that I achieved that rank and I can use it pretty much for whatever I want.
This pisses me off. What? Not as bad as the doctor thing. I'll give you that. Not as bad as the doctor thing.
Why are you hanging me, Don?
Because a lot of times you also have doctors who aren't really doctors. Like, you ever met a dentist?
No.
A dentist will call somewhere and they'll go, yes, table for four, please. This is Dr. Smith.
but they have the right?
But they're not real doctors. They're dentists. Or what about, like, skin doctors?
Or Dr. Philgood.
Dermatologists.
Yeah, zit doctors.
They're medical doctors.
They're not real doctors,
they,
man.
They are, Don. Yes, they are.
They shouldn't be able to drop the D-bomb.
They're doctors.
They really shouldn't, though. I don't
sure.
care.
Absolutely.
The only guy I want dropping a D-bomb is, like, a brain surgeon or maybe a heart surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, you're just Joe Schmo.
I don't understand why I can't be Major Bill Smith. What do you think I'm going to do? You think I'm going to go down to a local Red Lobster restaurant and say, hello, I'd like some orange ruffian lava beans. This is Bill Smith. That doesn't sound good, Don. What sounds good is Major Bill Smith. The best cotton picking major in the whole world.
Hello.
I dropped a lot of bobs on him.
Don and Mike show, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, buddy. I'm just calling to say...
That's Dr. Buddy, cool. Please.
You guys rule, man.
Right.
Idaho loves you, dude.
Right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I got a friend of mine that calls up and says he's a senator to get a table at a good restaurant.
Oh, this is Senator Blatarsky. Could I please have the finest table and your finest bottle of wine?
From the great state of Iowa.
From Iowa.
That's just as bad. Yeah. That's just as bad as doctors and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, just call and say you're you.
All right.
Just say you're you. Hello, it's me. God is able. I'm no doctor. Hello.
My name is Joe. Give me some food.
Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Airman Harris. I worked at Gate at an Air Force base.
You work the gate at an Air Force base. Yes,
that's
sir.
Correct. I'm in Special Forces.
Uh-huh.
Now,
Hold on.
All right.
How special do your forces have to be if you're working at the front gate?
No, it's security forces. They call them Special Forces, too. Hold on. I got cartoon.
Something tells me we're not talking to the most elite of our fighting forces right now.
No, especially since I heard there's some people down here waiting to be picked up, mm-hmm. which would indicate this Special Forces individual is perhaps a cab driver.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yes, it is.
No, what's up, sir?
Nothing.
Hello?
Nothing. Hello? I was just observing what I heard in the background.
Oh, that's Captain Beckett. That's my radio going off. My bad.
Yeah. Right. You're in Special Forces. Right.
No, security forces.
Can we listen to your radio?
Let us hear what your radio says. Let us hear some of your big time commands you're getting ordered around.
Mr. Cab Dispatcher.
The captain's not on there.
Let us just listen.
Yes, okay, Cab Dispatcher.
I'll let go.
Are you sure you're not in special forces, maybe in special ed?
This is Special Forces Officer Louis De Palma.
Hold on.
Oh, his uniform.
Dry cleaner, though.
All right, I'm going to go on there right now to go talk to him.
What?
I'm going to be talking to him right now.
All right, well, let's hear it. Go ahead.
All right. Control is bell gate. What time do we have to have our uniforms in by?
1700. This man's vital to our...
Serious business. Yeah.
Vital to our...
What time do the uniforms have to be clean, sir?
Vital to our country security. Right here. You're hearing top level government work.
Yeah, all right, dear sir. This is the gate. What time is dinner?
You guys are funny. You guys are clowning.
We're clowning.
Do you have a sidearm right now?
What's that? Yes, I do. 9mm Fox Truck Beretta. I fired my M16 last night. Night firing and day firing.
You mean just like as a drill, or were you in like your barracks?
No,
you're firing some rounds into
drills,
the ceiling.
Shoot them, get qualified for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you work at a gate somewhere.
Yeah, they're Air Force gate guard.
Can you?
And then I work patrol too.
It almost sounds like you said Air Force gay guard.
No, gate guard.
Don't ask, don't tell, Don.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you an Air Force gay guard?
No.
So let me see.
That is the policy, though. Don't ask, don't tell.
Your job there, are you the guy that makes the little thing go up and down so the cars can get into the base?
See, on this base, we have to wave traffic in. There's decal stickers on the car.
Right, and on the license plate, like, you can tell if it's an officer or not.
That's correct, and then we salute them if they come through.
That's right.
Very technical, sir.
I used to make stickers like that, and just drive around Fort Myers all the time.
Just to get saluted?
Oh, God, it was the best thing in the world. Whole Saturday afternoon, I'd go gate to gate, and then I would start at 9 in the morning, and by about 2 in the afternoon, they'd start going, wow, what is he doing? But they'd give me and it's one of these where they wave him forward. Yeah. You know, they
give the big rigid salute?
Yeah, they give the robotic kind of salute. Very
cool.
Yeah, we
have to do that. Yeah. Hold on just a second. I have a truck coming.
Oh, here we go.
Go ahead, sir.
You handle that very well. Excellent job, sir.
You hear the guy in the truck going, hello, which way to the general's house?
Exactly.
I've got
exactly.
a truck of deliveries for him.
Actually, we had something happen like that past week.
Uh-huh.
Like something, it wasn't terrorist, but it's like from Reno, there's a militia going on.
Mm-hmm.
And something it happened over at Travis Air Force Base, and someone tried to get on base with that.
He's a buffoon.
You know the call we got from the law student and then the PhD in chemistry?
Yeah.
I think this is balancing things out right now.
Well, listen, what can we do for you there, Private Pyle?
Nah, I'm not in the Army. I'm in the Air Force.
Right, well, Air Force.
What can we do for you, Private Pyle?
I was just commenting how you guys were talking about the retirees coming through.
Yes, Major.
They try to do their rank all the time. Well, I'm retired colonel, and you're still civilian. Yeah, nothing. They try to...
Tell,
walk around and all that.
See, there I have a brief to think. I don't mind if someone says, this is retired Colonel McGillicuddy.
No, most of the time they come up and say Colonel, and they show their ID, and you're like, yes, you're civilian. They have a difference between.
Yeah, but you still have to salute them.
Yeah, just because it's a carb.
No, you have to salute them because they're, you know, they achieved the rank of colonel in the military.
That's something. But when they come in,
something you'll never really have to worry about.
What is the next job on the food chain past being the boy who works in the garage? What is the next highest job that you hope to achieve?
Am I ranked right now? My next one would be senior airman. This is just based on money.
But no. What is your next? I understand this is an exciting everyday job for you, sitting at a gate.
I work here 12 hours at this gate.
Sitting at a gate and letting the gate go up and down to let trucks in and making sure that guys get their uniforms pressed. But
right.
What is the next exciting gig for you, fighting man from head to toe?
Well, I'll be going to Saudi Arabia on September 6th. I'll be leaving right now. So that's what.
What, do they have some gates over there?
No, we're going to be patrolling, going out in patrols out there in the desert.
Really?
Oh, so you're going to be doing real stuff.
Correct. That's why we've been training for that. That's why we fired the M16. And that's why they're talking about over what you heard, the press and the uniform. We have to get our patches sewn on our DCUs, our desert combat uniforms.
The password is friendly fire. I'm sorry.
Hey, I have to get going because my flight sergeant's calling out right now.
Right, gotcha. Okay, well, keep up the good works, soldier.
Hey, thank you. I'm a trooper, not a soldier, though.
Right. Okay, trooper.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Well, I would venture to say that if any superiors to him happen to hear that little conversation, he may not be going to Saudi Arabia.
Hello, let's talk to James in York, Pennsylvania. James, hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about that retard that was on there. The reason why he's at the gate is because he scored the lowest on the test in the Air Force.
Is that where they put all the dumb guys?
Yeah, I've been a military brat for 26 years. That's where they put the lowest of the lows. He's one of the Jerry's kids.
Oh, I bet. And so your father was what rank when he retired?
Well, my dad, he got out of the Air Force, went in the reserves, but my stepdad retired as a staff sergeant.
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Hello, John and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know, I used to work for a vet office, and all the doctors there, especially one, used to always call for anything and just say, this is Dr. So-and-so.
Yeah, a veterinarian.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Doolittle.
Hello, Ed. This is Jerry Lewis. I'm off for my tour of military guard gates.
Don't, doctor, for Christ's sake.
Right, thank you, for Christ's sake.
Guard. Yeah.
For Christ's sake. Hello, Don and Mike.
I have something to say about the ABC.
How old are you?
Gotta be 18 to call this show, kid.
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
13.
Okay, five more years.
Okay.
Hang in there.
All right, bye.
I almost had a little more phlegm coming up there.
Just a little bit. You caught it back before he actually affected the speech pattern.
Good. Swallowed it back. Please. Hello, Don and Mike. You know, I got something about Jerry Lewis here, speaking of Jerry's kids.
You know, I would like to say something on behalf of all guard gates or gate guards that keep saying guard gates. But the guys, I'm sure there are guys that are better representatives of guys that guard the military bases than that last guy that called. It just seems to me.
I'm sure that what the other guy said was right. They're the lowest rung.
I'm not surprised at that, but I think he may have been in the lower percentile of the lowest rung.
Well,
I hope so.
Yeah. Lowest rung is lowest rung, man.
Yeah, that is true. You're all down there.
You're talking about your bottom 10%.
12 hours here at the gate, bad test scores.
Yeah, look, Donna Mike's show.
Donna Mike, General Mills here. I have more underwear slang for you.
General Mills.
Under the butt nut hut.
Okay, thank you.
This is a General Tire. No.
General Mills. Hello, Donna Mike's show. Hello. You're on the air. Don and Mike.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about the guy who called in and said his stepdad retired as a staff sergeant.
Yes, sir.
You're on that. He must not have been the sharpest tack in the box either.
Now the military are eating their young, ladies and gentlemen.
Is there something wrong with it being a staff sergeant?
I'm sorry?
Is there something wrong with being a staff sergeant?
Just not a very high rank.
Well, we need those guys on the front line, so, you know, we need the guys to lead our young men into battle. Thank you for hanging up.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I forgot to tell that guy at the front gate, thank you for your service to our country.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. Come on, hurry, please. All right, he hurried. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Another guard gate.
No, I did have something.
Guard.
I did have something about Jerry Lewis. Oh, we got to do a break. Then I promise to get it right to you.
Let's bring out the airmen, shall we?
They're so tough in touchdowns. Let's clear these lines right now and get a Fresh Caller 100, a prize package. Selected especially for you. It lies straight ahead if you're the 100th caller at Us Rio K Dodo. Mike?
Yes, I've got it right here, Don. It's Up Pen Kendo.
Not since we did the cash call. This has been such hard work for you.
I know.
Huh?
It's very difficult because I had it under my picture of Regis, which I was staring at.
Buzz?
Up Pen Lendo.
1-877-365-3636.
Man, I'd go right down to the gatehouse with the way I'm performing.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140.
When chasing a female horsefly, the male horse...
Tell me you like to get $1 more than last year?
Yes.
Well, I got good news for you. What? Roll it. Last year was 57.50.055. So you got 58.71.225. How's that? That's more than a dollar.
What, Ed?
All right.
Ed, where will you be if I need you?
I'll be over here if you need me.
They are the blood and the pus in the comedy bit. Don and Mike.
Let me see if my wife's still on the phone.
Since she was in the grocery store?
Yeah. Isn't this? My wife's phone accidentally. I guess she must have accidentally pushed the send button on her cell phone.
Right.
And I've been listening to her now. Just talking up a storm with a guy. It sounds like she's in the grocery store. Either that or she's having an affair with a guy who has the cash register in his bedroom.
Paper bags all over the bedroom.
Listen to her. We're eavesdropping on my wife.
It sounded like a truck backing up.
She must be in the parking lot. Say goodbye. See, now we'll find out if she listens to the show or not. We'll be able to hear when she gets in the car. If she turns on the radio, maybe she'll hear herself.
This will be interesting. Now, that's the sound of a seatbelt.
Hear if my wife talks to herself or not. It's so wacky.
Didn't this happen before?
It happened to a neighbor of mine.
Yeah. That's right.
And she accidentally left it on our answering machine at home.
Right.
But we were just sitting there in the hotline ring during the commercials.
What's she doing?
Putting her purse on the seat.
She's probably not going to hip up to the fact that we're listening unless she turns the radio on.
Let's see, buddy.
You're listening to Frida at the Grocery Store.
What is that?
Robbie, what do you think that is?
She might be unloading the stuff into the car. The day of her big grocery buy, because there's been a lot of bags.
Yeah.
I heard it's in the person.
Either that or she's having crazy sex with a bad boy.
Yep, she's done.
No. Jesus, she makes a lot of noise, doesn't she?
She's strong, though. She's strong. You can tell she's
strong as bull.
Handling those bags with authority.
Oops, easy. Beep, beep the car. That's the alarm.
Okay, all right.
What?
My God. Just
reaching the purse for her keys, I'm guessing.
Or she should already have those if she beeped the car.
Yeah, she beeped it. She had no idea she called me.
I think now she's getting in the car.
Jesus, she's violent, isn't she? I could really catch her doing something.
What was that?
I don't know. It sounded like some kind of a smooch or something. Or maybe a...
zipper.
It's a zipper. Hope it wasn't some guy's pants.
I don't know. It sounded like a smooch or something.
Hello?
Hello?
I just got out of the grocery store, and I got in the car and turned on your radio,
And I think I heard me.
Yes, we've been listening to you. Well, you know, you must have accidentally pushed the send button when you were in line checking out.
Well, it's in my purse, and I probably reached in there, grabbed my wallet, and something bumped it. Honey, did you hear me flirting with the cashier?
During the commercials, before we went on the air, I said to Robbie, come listen to Frida. She's just chatting up this guy at the grocery store.
He was cute. He was cute. He was about that, 18, nicely built. He was a cute.
You had a lot of bags, too, that you were throwing violently into the back of your car.
What were those sounds we were hearing, honey?
Well, that's me. It's raining, and I was rushing. And, I did probably put him in there a little quicker than I usually.
A lot of groceries are coming home, huh?
No, not really. I usually buy one dinner at a time. I'm not good in the kitchen. I don't plan ahead well.
Is it raining a lot there?
And plus, I get to chat with the checkout guys more if I see them every day.
Is it raining a lot there, honey?
Yeah, it's coming down steady. It's wonderful. We were chatting about it. Didn't you hear the guy and I talking about how low the Potomac was and how I walked across the Potomac last week? Didn't you hear me tell him that?
No.
So he'd think I was, you know, an athletic kind of gal.
I just I'd like to point out, nice effing drought. Way to go. Way to go having people ration water. What did I tell you 2 weeks ago?
Don, we should always listen to you whenever it has anything to do with
what
weather.
What did I tell you? I told
you're the only man that can control the weather with your mood.
Use all the water. Me and Ditka, Mike. I told you, use all the water you want. There will always be plenty more. And look at it now. Mm-hmm. Now there's big puddles out in the road because it's been raining all day long.
Don't pay any attention to them. Bart and I and the dogs and neighbor kids all walked across the Potomac last week. That's how low it is.
That was last week.
And the checkout guy I was just bonding with, he understood me. We were talking. We were simpatico. But you know, I don't know what planet you're on. The creek near our house is completely dry.
All right,
if you'd ever get out of your TV room, you know, I'm going to have to go back and talk to that guy some more.
All right, I'll see
you. I
got
to go. I can plan.
Love you.
Okay, love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Goodbye. Did you enjoy the sounds of groceries more? Is that what that was?
Yes. Yeah. Could you tell?
I didn't want to tell Frida, but there was an article in the paper yesterday that said, worst case scenario, if it didn't rain again until the end of next summer and everybody ran their sprinklers, there would still be enough water for everybody.
What'd I tell you?
So you were right.
You were right, Don.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Buzz.
You bet.
Rob, isn't there something you'd like to say to me?
Well, you're always right. It's no surprise to me.
Thank you, Rob. You know, but really, you know, today here in D.C. and
right.
in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
it is raining so goddamn much.
Yes.
It's the exact opposite of everything we've had for the last month.
Right. It'll be nice seeing, like, water in the brooks again mm-hmm. and in the creek and seeing the deer
Where
happy.
One other thing.
Oh, please.
Hey.
Hello, Donna myself. Hey, hi, you're the 100th caller, sir.
All right, thanks.
What is your name?
My name is Jim.
Jim, where are you from?
From Fairfax.
Jim, you've won Playboy TV's Sizzling Sampler gift pack.
All right.
Courtesy of Media General Cable Top Event, Playboy TV. Hey, pervs, it's on Channel 88 right now.
Right.
Hell yeah. Call Media General Cable Top Event to order, and we thank you for listening to the show.
Always do.
Beautiful. Appreciate it. Hold on a second, please.
All right.
All right, now here's what I have for you about Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry.
Show me the top one, Ed.
You know, we're getting very close to one of my favorite shows that we do every year, and that is the weekend after the Labor Day telethon.
Right.
Because Rob Spiewak tapes the entire telethon every year, the Jerry Lewis telethon.
We always have a highlight of Jerry.
We always get, are you kidding? We get a whole show out
right,
of it.
Right, absolutely.
With all the stupid stuff that he says. So now we're on the press release list.
Oh.
I wanted to read you the bull crap they write about Jerry Lewis
mm-hmm.
and the incredible list of stars who will be performing this year.
Oh, Carrot Top.
He's on there.
Fantastic.
Okay, the newsletter says, when Jerry calls, the stars answer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you know what? So great. This year, since we're on in Las Vegas.
Right.
On KVBC-FM.
Oh, yeah.
Right. If anybody listening to this show goes to the hotel where Jerry Lewis is doing his telethon and
right.
screams out, Don and Mike, Jerry! I'm serious. $500. If you get it clean on the TV.
Right.
$500 for the first person.
A lot of quiet moments.
Oh, you bet there's quiet moments.
Absolutely.
There's lots of quiet moments that are planned and lots of quiet moments that just happen just because it's Jerry.
Exactly.
Make sure that it's got to be when Jerry's on stage, though. It can't be in the overnight when it's like Kevin Meaney.
Right. Kevin Meaney with his bow tie.
Because we got a bunch of troublemakers listening to our show in Las Vegas.
Sure.
Right. You know, maybe someone can even call in and tell us what hotel that's going to be at, and we can actually get this thing planned in advance.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's his status as one of our culture's greatest comedy icons. Or maybe it's the fact that all of America knows and respects his commitment to helping others.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Jerry Beatles, as well as Jerry Seinfeld, Martin Short, and Bill Maher.
Starting to go down that list now. You can see the list immediately, even in that sentence, starts to take a nosedive when you get down to Bill Maher.
All of whom cite Jerry Lewis as a career inspiration.
Okay.
So to read that paragraph, does that mean Michael Jackson, Frank Sinatra, the Beatles, Jerry Seinfeld, Martin Short, and Bill Maher all cite Jerry Lewis as a career inspiration?
You have a question about that?
I'm so grateful to all those amazing stars who give their time and talent, says Lewis. The incredible thing is many of these performers end up thanking me.
I'm so grateful for all of them for doing that.
Because I've given them a chance to help someone else. Martin Short and Bill Maher are slated to be part of the comedy lineup on this year's telethon, which will originate from CBS TV City in Hollywood and include satellite feeds from New York, Vegas, and Chicago. Many of Jerry's favorite comic guests will appear, including...
Oh, we got a symphony? Here we go.
Listen to this lineup.
Here we go. Here they are, Jerry.
Marcel Marceau.
What?
Marcel Marceau.
Can't hear you.
Carrot Top. Norm Crosby.
Yeah!
Yeah, every year.
And outstanding practitioners of the art of stand-up comedy, including Max Alexander and Bob Zahini.
Oh!
Right!
Who?
Absolutely!
Did I see them in the sports section?
That's his lineup.
Wow. Is that the lineup?
Marcel Marceau, Carrot Top, Norm Crosby.
That could be the worst ever.
Max Alexander and Bob Zahini.
That is sad.
So then you go to page two of the press release.
Right.
Ed McMahon is returning for the 32nd year.
Here I come, Jerry. Here I come.
Lewis and McMahon will be joined by three co-hosts. And here again, you can feel the cheese. Entertainment Tonight correspondent Jan Carl.
Who?
Right. VH1 VJ Cynthia Garrett.
Who?
And Parade magazine editor Walter Anderson.
Who?
Wow.
Man, didn't they have Lisa Gibbons one year?
She's not in it anymore. Gene and Casey Kasem will link up from Los Angeles, as will Bart Connor and Nadia Comaneci, who will be hosting in Chicago.
Oh, my.
Then he goes to the list of music, people. This year's broadcast includes an assemblage of sophisticated song stylists, including...
Sawyer Brown?
Maureen McGovern.
Woo-hoo!
Gary Morris. Diane Schur. Frank Sinatra Jr.
Oh, my God.
Lorna Luft.
Ah!
And Monica Mancini.
This is amazing.
Cast members from Fosse and Annie Get Your Gun will perform Broadway classics. Telethon's favorite Charo will contribute her talents.
All right.
Yeah. As singer, dancer, and world-class flamenco guitarist.
Oh, my.
Okay, then you go to the next category.
All right.
Stage and screen. Stars from the big and small screens will be well represented on Telethon 99, including Lucy Lawless.
Athena, right?
Kevin Sorbo. That's Hercules.
Yeah.
David James Elliott.
Who?
The guy from JAG.
JAG, okay, the guy that we interviewed.
And Ricardo Montalban.
Oh.
Man, oh, man.
This sounds like one of our shows.
Broadcast personalities include Larry King.
Yeah, of course.
Martha Stewart. And Judge Judy. Along with General Norman Schwarzkopf and Olympic gold medalist Kathy Rigby. Help Jerry's kids with special appeals to make the phones ring.
Oh, boy. I tell you, I remember Do you remember the day this telethon had everybody that was anybody?
They used to have some big names.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, the telethon is always welcomed in an eclectic variety of artists. This year will be no exception. With performances by vocal manipulation expert Ron Lucas.
Who?
Impressionist Martin Duby.
Who?
Singer Bill Acosta. Contortionist the Long Brothers.
Yeah.
Juggler Saladik.
It's a lot of variety, Ed.
The choral ensembles of Masters of Harmony and Voice of Ascension. And illusionist Rick Thomas.
Hello, Jerry. I'm your illusionist today. Would that be a magician?
Right.
Yes.
He's doing a magic show.
How lame is that?
That's the whole list?
That's it. And then at the very last paragraph, and this is why he's having someone from VH1 co-host.
Okay.
These performers will appear courtesy of VH1 via satellite.
Very good.
And then you got some real names.
All right.
Sheryl Crow, Tom Petty of the Heartbreakers, Dave Matthews, the Goo Goo Dolls, Cyndi Lauper, Shania Twain, and Leanne Rimes.
Well, that's the big list right there.
But they, now they get last billing on this three-page memo.
Well, he got Norm Crosby on that list.
And let me see. The white-hot lineup of performers includes, blah, 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 will appear courtesy of the VH1 Music Channel to lend a harder edge to the show's musical mix.
Ah, so they at least they got some names right. Why'd they put them at the end?
I don't know why they put them at the end.
Because Bob Zaney's in that list. Bob Zaney. He comes here every year, and he's fine, intelligent, and funny.
The 1999 telethon will establish another milestone, becoming the first live multilingual internet programming. All of the broadcasts will be transmitted live in English, Spanish, and Japanese.
Buenos noches, eh?
Shortly after the telethon, Lewis will be off to Italy to receive the Venice International Film Festival's Career Golden Lion Award.
Hey, Ari Vedershi.
As an extraordinary example of the total filmmaker. Soon after that, he'll reunite with his telethon production team to start working on the year 2000 telethon.
So I guess he's not going to France. He's going to Italy.
Right.
Italy is where they love him now.
And then they have a paragraph that actually says what MDA does.
And in the, I always quote Dennis Miller when we're talking about Jerry Lewis. Just remember, Jerry is not funny when he's trying to be funny, but when he's trying to be serious, he's
That's
very
he's hilarious.
Right.
There's another, somewhere else in the huge press release, but I thought it was a great quote. Jerry said, "In my career, I've done everything I wanted to do except one thing, find a cure."
Yeah, that's Jerry.
Right.
Jerry
that's
all
Jerry.
Over.
Right. Because Jerry cares, man.
He
right.
does,
of
definitely.
Course he does. Mm-hmm. Well, that is definitely the lamest list. I wouldn't, on a dare, I wouldn't put that out as a press release.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
They list everything. And then they put the real music stars, the mega stars.
And you know why?
At the very end.
I think maybe because when it says will appear courtesy of VH1 Music Channel.
It's not like, you know, where they come out and thank Jerry or anything.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised
if there's a video.
Taped performances.
Yeah. You know something? I think that's almost a lock. Yeah.
Do you think that Tom Petty, Dave Matthews, and the Goo Goo Dolls are really going to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to perform for Jerry Lewis?
Hi, Jerry. We got the Go-Go Dolls.
Thanks, Ed. The Go-Go Dolls.
Well, it promises to be the biggest suck fest of all this year.
They're marvelous.
We will have great tapes of Jerry.
Fantastic.
And, again, we'll put the word out for those of you listening to us in Las Vegas. If you go down to the hotel where they're actually having the telethon, and at some point when Jerry's on stage, you scream out, "Don and Mike, Jerry!"
We'll be forever grateful.
We'll lay $500 on you.
That's right.
We've got some business to take care of now on the show. Because the Homo Joe Beach House is taking shape.
Got a bike Homo Joe here.
As we speak. We have three hotties, three cute girls that are going to be living in this beach house for a week.
One monster.
Tom Gavin. One major effing star, Dennis Murphy.
He'll be there for part of the week.
And your house mother, the fabulous Homo Joe.
Cook extraordinaire.
Now, what we're giving away is 8 nights and 9 days in Dewey Beach, Delaware, in the Don and Mike Miller Lite Dewey Beach House. We need two guys who are available from Thursday, September 2nd through Friday, September 10th.
You have to realize that your life will be an open book when you're in this beach house.
As we mentioned a couple of days ago, this is 100% realer than the real world on MTV ever is.
Absolutely.
And to make sure that we can capture every single moment this year, besides his many reports that he'll give us on the radio, Homo Joe will be equipped with a digital audio tape recorder.
Not a bike. I'm here at the paddock with everyone.
And he will be taking it to breakfast, to lunch, to dinner.
Absolutely.
So we'll have tape reports to listen to. And this is a great, great time for the beach house because this vacation happens smack dab right into Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, September 2nd through Friday, September 10th. We do want to mention Miller Lite sponsors this beach house. When you arrive, you'll find Miller Lite beach supplies in your beach house, courtesy of Miller Lite. Great taste of a true Pilsner beer. And we're going to go trolling for guys.
Yeah.
At 1-888-877-365-3636. Or as I like to refer to it, us Rio K Dodo.
And I like to refer to it as Ken Ray Dodo.
Mike,
I like to refer to it as Up Ben Lindo. Now, I thought I did a good job that
you
night.
You did, Mike.
Thank you. I was prepared.
Much love to you.
Thank you.
1-877-365-3636. That's the phone number. And Charlie Broyhill, if you're listening in the back room, why don't you get Homo Joe on one of the inside lines?
I think Homo Joe should have a little bit to say about who's going to be in the beach house.
He should have some input. the two fellas that will be living at the beach house.
Hi, welcome to my house.
With him and the three girls and the monster and the major effing star. So if you're up for this, guys, call us now. We'll do it when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I got your message, and I'd love to come in the studio that day. I'm getting into town probably about noon, and I'll be over in that area around 2. So we can work that out. That'd be great. And then we can talk to Don about his singing ability or lack thereof, and we can figure that one out, too. So I'll give you a call tomorrow during business hours and try to hook this thing up. Thanks. Bye. Yeah, Rob, this is Rob Grill with Grassroots. You've got the number. I just wanted to let you know I'm arriving at Dulles at noon, and I'm going to take a cab, and then I have the show at 7. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure out. I'm not going to have a car or anything. I don't know if a cab would be right or not, but give me a call back. I'll be home this evening. If you can, call me and let me know if we can work out what time we can do this and discuss the other parts of it. Okay? Thanks. Bye.
Dedicating 96% of their show to the proud 4%, Don and Mike.
Well, he'll be here tomorrow.
Right.
Lead singer of my favorite group.
Get the guy a car.
He doesn't have to take a cab either.
Right.
Rob's going to pick him up.
That's the best way, a limousine.
Yeah. Rob Grill of the Grassroots. He'll be here tomorrow. We'll be jamming. Now let's go to news guy, Guy Elston. Hello, Buzz.
I got him, Mike. Turns out there was something special in the air on American Airlines planes, and it was something illegal. The feds say dozens of American Airlines employees and contract workers are under arrest for using that airline's planes to smuggle drugs into the U.S. The ATF says they also smuggled in weapons. About 40 people have already been arrested.
What did Captain Joe Ardinger have to say about that?
Hey, what is this? Oh, just put the box on the plane. Be quiet.
Charlie.
Joe, be quiet. Just put it on the plane.
I'm sorry, Charlie. Uh-huh. I screwed up again.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
40 people. 40 people already arrested. Nearly 5 dozen others have been named in indictments. That's nearly 100 people altogether. Most of those indicted are ramp workers and baggage handlers at Miami International.
Man, that's heavy. No problem, though. I'm strong.
Strong as bull. Islands in the Bahamas are under a hurricane watch as Tropical Storm Dennis finally gains some strength. After stalling in the Atlantic for a while, the storm could become a hurricane later tonight. Forecasters say it could threaten the east coast of the U.S. this weekend. And right behind Dennis is Tropical Storm Emily. That's what he says. When he hits landfall, how you doing? Tropical Storm Cindy's over 1,000 miles out to sea, so it's no threat to land, at least not yet.
All right.
Maybe this is why we never got Martin Lawrence on the show to promote his new movie.
He is coming on this show.
Well, he's going to have to get well first. He's been in a coma for the last 3 days.
What's up?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm
not. He loves those. He loves those when he looks over and he gives you one of those bulletins there.
God damn it. You know, Martin Lawrence, hey, hold on. No. Chuck Broyhill, come here for a minute. It's very rare that we get an actual star who will actually come in this studio
right.
to be on this show.
Here's a guy who's been in three movies, had his own TV series.
How long have we had Martin Lawrence booked to come in studio?
About a month.
About a month. Did you hear he's in a freaking coma?
Who said that?
He's out now. I did.
Buzz. Today?
Yeah.
He's been in a coma for 3 days.
I'll go check on that.
He just regained consciousness yesterday.
Good for him.
Don't we have him booked next month?
Yeah, after you return from vacation.
Right.
Well, maybe he'll be well by then.
Where's his bed? Next to Weird Al Yankovic?
No, he's like, Al's well, isn't he?
What's up?
Well, Martin Lawrence collapsed while jogging the other day and arrived at the hospital with a temperature of 107, and then he lapsed into a coma.
Wow.
Now that he's awake, he's still listed in serious but stable condition. As I said, Martin starred in three movies as well as his own TV series. It was almost like that for a while, but he's going to be all right.
Just our luck, man. Yeah. He's had his problems.
He has. It's probably been something with him.
We can't get a break. We can't get a break on the show. We finally get somebody decent booked, and he gets in a goddamn coma.
What's his name? Came from I Dream of Jeannie.
Major Healy, I know.
He was here. He was healthy.
Right.
Yeah, he was all right.
We were rolling sevens on that day, Mike.
I felt his forehead before he did the interview.
Was it warm?
Yeah, we always want to make sure that they're not going to go into a coma while they're on the show.
Right. How is Martin's sister doing, Buzz?
As far as Vicky?
Vicky.
I believe she's okay.
Right. Yeah. Vicky Lawrence.
And of course, their cousin, Steve and Edie. Of course, Edie is gourmet. Steve is Lawrence.
Mm.
One of Lucille Ball's old TV sidekicks has kicked the bucket.
Who?
Mary Jane Croft. Lewis passed at 83 yesterday in Century City, California.
She's not technically really. She's from, like, Here's Lucy, right? And the Lucy Show.
She was with her for many years. She played Lucy's best friend on the Lucy Show and Here's Lucy from 1962 to 1974.
Yeah, it's only Ethel, though, that I remember. Ethel.
True. Mary Jane used a real name, Mary Jane Lewis, on both of those shows. She also played Clara Randolph on the old Ozzie and Harriet series up until 1966. For those of you who are old enough to remember.
Old bag. I always hated the Lucy Show.
Yeah.
Which one was the show where the Lucy marionette would come out at the beginning and
that
take
was
on later?
That was the color version.
Was that Here's Lucy?
I think that was the Lucy Show. I think that was the Lucy Show.
Sucked, man.
I like the one with the time log vault.
I like, any of them with Mr. Mooney.
Right.
Are fine. But, you know,
this is comma,
Shocker, you're going to find out whether it was Here's Lucy or the Lucy Show right now.
Yeah, it was Here's Lucy, and I believe it was only in syndication that they had the marionette opening.
So it wasn't the Lucy Show.
Right, and the Mr. Mooney was actually two different characters, and they switched one season and never explained why. They came back one fall, and she was living in another city, still working for Mr. Mooney, but he had a different name.
You're going to have to put that head on ice tonight, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robbie. Buzz, one more. We have to do a break.
Well, the ratings are in for the first week, of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Who wants to be a dumbass?
Yeah. Freudian slip there.
Hello, dumbasses. This is Regis Philbin.
In this week's Nielsen's, various installments of that game show came in first, second, fifth, and ninth, and 19th in the top 20.
Amazing.
Sunday's hour-long edition had 15 million viewers, making it the most-watched show of the week.
It's the money. It's not Regis. Please remember that.
By the way, ABC's taken nearly a million calls on that 900 number. I knew you'd be interested in this. They've had a million calls on the 900 number.
And that's $2 a call, right?
$1.50 a call, so that's $1.5 million, and a red today that ABC gets to keep about half of that.
Oh, man! Who wants to be a schmuck?
It's the phone company gets the rest.
Wow.
ABC's so happy with the ratings with the show that it's now talking about adding it to the primetime schedule for the November rating sweeps. Since it started...
Who wants to be a flash in the pan?
Oh, my God. The ratings have grown each and every night over the previous night. The show's producer says ABC hasn't decided yet whether it'll be a one-time thing, once a week, twice a week, maybe periodically. He also says that after an appearance... Oh, good. Hey, Regis. Going to Regis's head. Regis was on Good Morning America earlier this week, and after he finished his appearance, he went backstage and he told the crew, your jobs are pretty much secure for the next couple of years.
Because of his game show.
Yeah, so he's feeling very, very successful.
Oh, that is so great that those things come to light.
Who wants to be a pompous blowhard.
That is great.
Thank you, Buzz. More news, comrade, right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Hey, the last one. You better get another pack.
Okay.
Thank you. You probably think that we're making a big fuss over a cigarette.
Well, sure. You don't really have to keep this wonderful new king-size Philip Morris cigarette in a safe. It's just our way of telling you that they are kind of precious. The finest king-size cigarette in America today. Smooth, mild, and mellow, and easy on your throat. How about you trying them yourself? Just call for Philip Morris. King size the regular.
Yeah.
Buy him by the carton.
Aye.
You're going to love him.
Lucy.
And we're going to love you.
Love you.
Hey, what was that for?
You said it so beautifully.
You did.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you next week.
America's favorite damn dummy, Don and Mike.
Here we are. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the banks would like you to know that they are ready for Y2K. That's why they've sent a pre-written sermon about it to your minister. The Washington Post says the American Bankers Association has started distributing a ready-made sermon to counteract the articles in Christian magazines.
You got us through the drought. How do we handle this Y2K thing?
No problem, Mike. I'm telling you, there will be no problem.
Everything going to be okay?
You be with me.
Okay.
January 31, 1999.
Right.
Clock strikes midnight.
Right.
Not a freaking thing happened.
No need to do anything?
No.
No need to prepare?
No. Right. Absolutely not. What did I tell you about the drought? And look at it now. It's been raining all day long.
Yeah, well, I'm really unhappy.
December 31st, that's when I have that party.
That's right. I'll tell you, that hole I was digging for Y2K filled up with water today.
Yeah, you better meet me on December 31st. That's the last day of 1999.
What was the original date you said?
January 1st.
I would have been there, though. I would have been there waiting to see if nothing was going to happen.
Bankers have written this sermon for the minister to save the minister some work in the hope that he will use their sermon.
Hey, though I walk through the valley of the Canaanites.
It says, prepare as best you can, then trust God for the rest. After quoting a number of Bible passages, it says, we want to go into the new millennium with hope, eagerness, and faith. We don't want to be crouched in our basement with candles, matches, and guns.
Crazy Jewish bankers.
Right, another stereotype.
Right, in Protestant sermons.
There you go.
People who hold grudges are not as healthy as people who don't.
That's crap. I'm healthy as a horse, man, and I got more grudges than anybody.
So do I. Mentally and physically, according to a new study from the American Psychological Association, featured in USA Today, the study shows that people who forgive are doing more good for themselves than they are for the person they're forgiving.
You know,
I don't have a grudge against that man.
The study also says that people who refuse to forgive have higher levels of anger and fear, not to mention higher heart rates and blood pressure. The study also says that people are more likely to forgive if they themselves have been forgiven for something. Now you know.
I don't agree with that, but okay. You may continue.
That's the story.
You know, you still have that bumper sticker, never forgive.
Never forget, never forgive, right?
Yep. A New Jersey man wants to sue a tattoo parlor for making a spelling mistake. Joe Beam wanted a tattoo that showed a knife in his back with the caption, why not? Everybody else does.
Hey, it's perfect.
But the tattoo artist spelled else, E-L-E-S-E. Ellis.
Excuse me. You have not spelled correctly on my back.
There is nothing I can do. I have already put it in indelible ink upon your rump.
Well, any idiot that wants a knife on his back that says, go ahead, everybody else, is, you know, he deserves to have Ellis spelled wrong.
Hear, hear. Well, the tattoo parlor's offered to either cover up the word or give the guy his $100 back. But Joe says that's not good enough. He wants the parlor to pay the $2,100. He says it'll take to have the misspelled word lasered off. And he says the tattoo parlor had better do it, or E-L-S-E.
Uh-oh.
I love that cow. Else the cow. Hey, laser this off, please. Cool. Thank you.
May I have my $2,100 now, please?
Magic Johnson's headed back to the basketball court. A team in Sweden. The retired NBA star will play at least one game in the Swedish Basketball League. The game is set for October 26th. Johnson's lawyer says that country made a good impression on Magic when he toured there 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Johnson first retired from the NBA 8 years ago.
Sweden's fun. You know, Sweden is I like this guy that sings like Elvis.
Won't throw a party in the car door, yeah. Rich man works going so well.
What were you saying about Sweden Air Magic?
I was going to say that Sweden is, when I'm over there, it's really, yeah. He's funny, yeah. Yeah, thank you. It's really, Sweden's, you know, good. Sweden's good.
Stand-up comic Craig Shoemaker says he still has nightmares about his time on the Magic Johnson talk show. In an interview this week, Shoemaker says he's trying to get that sidekick job erased from his resume by the Kennedy assassination people. Shoemaker, who was fired after...
That's funny, Mr. Shoemaker.
He was fired after two weeks.
Oh, you laugh at him?
Easiest laugh in America right here.
He was fired after a couple of weeks on the show as a sidekick. He says Magic had trouble pronouncing words, so much so that the producers had to cancel an appearance by actor Ben Affleck. He says that's because Magic could not, for the life of him, say the word Armageddon.
Well, that's Rudy Marsky disease.
Yeah, Rudy Marsky from USA Today. Guy writes for a living, couldn't do it.
Armageddon.
That's great. Yeah, you're on that Armageddon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme's butt wasn't good enough for a nude scene in his movie Universal Soldier, The Return.
Nipples.
That's right. Van Damme's bottom appears in most of his movies, but this one they had to use a stand-in. Says he needed it because he had two large pimples on his left cheek.
Really? How did you know that, Mike?
Because I like it. Big pimples. I've seen them.
Van Damme.
I've squeezed them.
Oh.
Okay. Oh.
Van Damme.
Gotta go. Oh. Come
was,
on.
That was me, man.
Yeah, that was bad.
Van Damme says the studio flew in a bunch of executives to take a look at his bottom. He says they had him drop his pants for inspection, at which point he was told his butt was unshootable.
That's the same thing that Mel and Ken did us when we got the job here.
I heard about that.
Comment on it, Mike. Pull down your pants. Time out, Buzz. All more right. News, more comments coming right up.
This is the dawn.